about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let's do it.
Have a good show, everybody. Here we go.
This is a safe place to talk about hard things.
Stand by. We'll count you down.
I'm trying to be an emotional compass and point you in the right direction.
5, 4.
I am not giving up on you.
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Yo, Allie, you want to play a game? All right, you be the Italian restaurant and I'll be the truck. Because I'm about to deliver the sausage.
This is why you fail.
Ladies, listen to this. Your mouths were not made for speaking.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I like lesbians.
Ooh.
And now,
there's a lot of really sick people on this floor.
Yes, there are. I see 2 very sick people. Those 2.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 28th of May.
Chip, what happened to your ducks, dude? What happened?
Yeah. Game 7. Woo! At home. That'll go good, right?
Aw, you're cute.
It might go well.
Yeah,
the, could go well.
Team's been playing good at home.
Yeah, Chicago did not want to go home last night.
No.
Stay home.
No.
I feel like there's a pit in the stomach of all Ducks fans because they, you know, this is the third year in a row. As I found out last night, this is the third year in a row that the Ducks had the opportunity to close out a series in a Game 6 and didn't. And they were eliminated by the Kings last year and the Red Wings the year before. And it might be the Blackhawks this year. So, yeah, that's not what you want. You don't want to get this far and then not advance.
Yeah, it's that, but both teams feel that way.
Yeah, of course. They're both great teams.
Yeah, when somebody gets closed out, that's the most difficult game because that's pretty much, look, we're not going home. We're going to do whatever it takes.
Exactly. So anyway, very very sad for the Painted Orange crowd like Allie and Kevin.
Nope.
Hey,
it's not us at all.
No.
There's a new-to-me website. Look, I try to bring you the interesting stories every day around this time, and I try to make them all true. And every once in a while, you run across something that's on one of those parody sites, and it's clickbait. Basically, they create a crazy story just to draw traffic to their website, and it's not true. And then if you dig around a little bit on the site, sometimes you'll even find a disclaimer that says these are parody stories or these are jokes or whatever. Well, I don't know about this site. It's new to me. It's moron.com. Have you seen this, Kevin?
I've not. No.
Story that's been going around the last couple of days from moron.com that I'm going to give you about. Moron.com provides the ultimate concentration of moronic stories, events, and exploits of stupid culture in people. Our breaking stories and investigations provide insight into an entire universe of absurd behavior. All right? So there's nothing on there that indicates that the stories aren't true. But this one, to me, just doesn't pass the smell test. Las Vegas. A group of hikers found an unusual discovery yesterday just outside the city. A man buried to his head in the desert.
Ooh.
I've seen that in movies, I think, where they've buried somebody at the beach or something, and then the waves crash over just their head. They can't do anything about it. We heard a strange howling. We walked to the sound, came over a small crest of a hill, and saw a guy buried to his head, rescuer Todd Nelson said. He was meowing like a cat. He was pretty delirious. The hikers quickly dug him out and unbound his hands and gave him water and a Cliff energy bar. His name was Todd, which I thought was pretty cool since my name is Todd. That, by the way, is my favorite quote in the whole story. But people say dumb things all the time when they're interviewed, so that, you know, so far it still could be true. You don't meet many Todds, Nelson said.
The first thing that throws me off is, why is the guy howling?
He's meowing.
He's delirious.
Whatever.
Because he's been out in the sun, I'm sure. I mean, that part makes sense to me, that he would be howling.
All right.
Trying to get attention or whatever. I don't know. Or just, can't help himself because he's just crazy from the heat.
All right.
It was really strange how he came to be buried out here. Apparently, Todd Williams had himself buried as a dare. He bet his brother $10 million he could spend a month buried to his head in the Nevada desert without food or water. A stupid bet to take. I really thought I could last, a frustrated Williams told his rescuers. I owe my brother $10 million now, which blows, because I don't have $10 million. I'm going to have to make payments. Williams said he'd been buried for 3 or 4 days, and at one point had to deal with an animal that he thought for sure was going to eat him. A coyote circled me a few times. Then he came up, and I thought, this thing is going to eat my face off. But he just licked my face a few times. I successfully shooed him away, but it got saliva in my eye, which burned. The weight of the earth from being buried cracked several of Williams' ribs, and he suffered severe dehydration and sunstroke, but is expected to make a full recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% false.
Absolutely.
100?
Yeah.
Well,
not 99. Even 99?
99. I mean, yeah, there I are really true. Stupid people.
Yeah.
There are stupid people.
Let's not discount them, but...
I mean, look, this story... Look, lots of people have done things crazier than this. This story is not so far out of the realm of possibility that somebody wouldn't do something this stupid. Every
buried
detail
with
in this
just,
story is possible.
Buried with just your head sticking out of the ground and he was going to do it for a month?
In the That's desert. He,
in the
Come
desert,
on.
Yeah. It does seem pretty stupid, as he admits. But then I look at other stories on this site that I know are true, other stories that I've seen, from Florida Man or from FARC or whatever. So I don't know. I wanted to put the warning out there that it's possible that this one is not true. But
is there a picture of Todd?
There is a picture of Todd.
Can you send it to me?
Sure.
Do you know
I'll
him?
Send it to
you.
That,
know
that will named? Determine. Okay. Like I can see stupid.
Okay.
Yeah.
As she's looking at me.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
She's going to be holding it up, looking at that side of the room, going, well, it could be.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, so please enjoy. Well done, Todd. You know, it was funny that his name was Todd because you don't meet a lot of Todds.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
That is obvious, Lee. What is clear that our view is we don't support that view.
Okay. Dr. Drew's going to be on the show today.
Yeah.
He knows everything, Dr. Drew.
He does.
Bizarre that way. The Pope says he hasn't watched TV in the last 25 years.
Whatever.
Well, he's been busy talking to God every night. He doesn't need TV.
Sure. Dave Duchovny is going to be on the program today. He's in the new series Aquarius, which I believe debuts tonight.
That is correct.
Very excited about that. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. We have Greg Proops in studio, comedian, and now he's got a new book out called The Smartest Book in the World. And we have your final shot at tickets for U2 at the Roxy. There's one pair left. We have them for you, and we'll tell you when to call and how to win those coming up. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat, and that's...
We got a winner!
No, we haven't. Don't even have a winner.
Started the giveaway.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
So it's Showbiz Beat time, but yes. Also you're giving stuff away.
That's right. I'm doing it all. I'm spinning a bunch of plates. That's what I'm doing.
That sounds like good news for the listeners.
It is good news for the listeners. Vinny, E, Turtle, Johnny Drama, Ari Gold. Do these names give you a tingle in your nether regions? Well, then you're going to want to call me now because I have got passes to the premiere of Entourage.
Yay!
Big screen version of the wildly popular HBO show is having its big premiere June the 1st at the Regency Village Theater. You get a copy of the soundtrack as well. Entourage is in theaters everywhere on June the 3rd, but on June 1st at the premiere at the Regency Village Theater, you may be in attendance to see all the stars in their glory. If you'd like to go to the premiere of Entourage, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through to my boy Beer Mug will be lucky enough to attend the Entourage premiere. You can go to entouragemovie.com if you want to learn more. And speaking of Beer Mug, it needs to be said. I don't want to say this, but it has to be said.
Okay.
A little while ago, we made a little bit of a lateral move with our boy Beer Mug.
Right.
Took him out of the studio, put him in the office, put him to work on the other side of things. And let me tell you a little something about Beer Mug. Is maybe one of the best employees working on this morning show. Exemplary. Hardworking, couldn't be more helpful in that room, could not come through more on a regular basis. When I get to my desk in the morning, there's a hot mug of health waiting for me on the desk. Beer Mug just takes it upon himself to get me a cup of coffee. It's waiting for me when I get there.
Does he massage your feet as well?
No, he doesn't. But anything I need research-wise or help with anything, guy could not be more helpful or come through more in the clutch. He has reinvented himself. He has gone from public enemy number one to employee of the month.
Fire Beer Mug.
Of the week.
I would say don't fire Beer Mug. I would say keep Beer Mug.
Wow.
That's my point.
I have
never seen anyone rehabilitate their reputation in a place of work more than Beer Mug.
remember having that conversation with him saying, all right, look, this is going to seem terrible to you, but you're going to be doing this. And then Chip's coming in here and just, do you think you can have a good attitude? And he's like, yeah, I think I can. And I totally believe him. And he does.
He has exceeded my wildest expectations of himself in that role. Could not be more helpful and more just Johnny on the spot. No pun intended. Just, I'm just endlessly impressed by his work ethic over there.
So I have a question for you now, Ralph.
Trust me, it does me no great pleasure to break this news. But it's just the facts, ma'am.
Now that we have found a job more suitable for Beer Mug's abilities, when do we move on to Kevin? When do we find a job? Because Kevin's a great guy.
We all enjoy working with him. We love him. When do we find something
that maybe is more in his area of expertise?
He really just can't do the job he's currently doing right
now. That's all we're saying. I know it's going to suck at first, Kevin. Right. It's going to seem like a demotion. But trust me, in the long run, you'll be happier.
Can you have a good attitude if we just put you on the phones?
I could try.
All right,
do
buddy.
Do we want him on phone?
How dare you?
I definitely want him on phone.
All right, we have to find some sort of silent job. What do we have around here that doesn't require any skills with language
or typing?
Can't do that.
Or internet searching.
Boy.
As we'll discover next hour.
I just think we just got to put our heads together.
Let's go back and talk about Beer Mug.
Something.
This got to me.
No, I just want to give my boy Beer Mug some love because I've just, over the past couple months, I've just been so impressed by how hard he's working and how much he's succeeding.
So what do I do with...
Fire Beer Mug! That
crowd needs to be heard.
I'm not saying I have all the answers. Okay. I'm just saying I'm a little bit in awe of how Beer Mug has sort of reinvented himself.
Yeah, and what's great is that he still does the Beer Mug interviews when needed as well. So we didn't lose those by taking him out of here. So.
And we ask him to, you know, when Omar sometimes has to be gone, we ask him to fill in there and do some production work. Does a great job, makes great jingles for us for games and stuff and everything. He's a good guy, and he's really sort of helpful and talented.
We should give him a treat.
We should get him one of those little snossages. We have. Do we have a bag of snossages around?
I think we do.
Just give him a snossage.
Yeah, good boy.
Good boy, Beer Mug. Good boy.
Someone scratch his tummy, too.
Right. Give him one of those bacon. Those bacon
snossage is a good pull.
All right. Enough time kissing Beer Mug's ass. Let me get into show business. Hey, this is going to come as a surprise to you, but some people should not drink.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, Kim Richards of the Real Housewives franchise is one of them. You remember she was the one who was locking herself in the bathroom at the Polo Lounge and the cops had to come and drag her out and she fought them?
Did they do an intervention on her too? Or
they
no?
did.
That was her, yeah.
And she went into rehab and by all accounts, not faring well. Only in the sense that she took a flying leap off the wagon recently, but at least it was at her daughter's wedding.
Oh, no. No.
Where attendees at the wedding overheard her screaming at her daughter, the bride, Brooke, and then also cursing at the groom's family. Her sober coach, who was in attendance, could not control her, and so he quit on the spot. This is in Cabo, by the way, where this is all happening. She was supposed to return to rehab this past Monday. She has gone MIA. No one really knows where she is. So
you got a problem, lady.
I hate to besmirch the good reputation of alcohol. But in some particular cases, some people should maybe not drink. Kevin! Kevin!
Everything can't come back to me.
That's true.
How dare you.
Clooney, just being Clooney. God bless him.
He's better than us.
He's much better than us. He did an interview with the BBC announcing that he will never, ever, ever go under the knife to preserve his classic leading man looks. Told the BBC, they said, look, there's nothing fun about growing older in Hollywood, but plastic surgery on men actually makes you look older. You have to look the best you can at the age that you are and just not worry about it, which is easy to say when you look like George Clooney.
You already won the lottery.
Right.
And this just in, you're allowed to age as a man in Hollywood.
That's true, too.
So screw you,
but
George.
Men do it. I mean, look, I'll pull up some footage of a recent appearance that Burt Reynolds made. At a Comic-Con. I don't know if you've seen this footage.
Oh, yeah.
But, boy, I mean, it's sad because he's obviously in ill health. He's getting around in a cane and he's, you know, late 70s, I guess, whatever. But what he has done to himself with plastic surgery.
And he's a guy you would have said at the peak of his career, oh, he hit the genetic lottery.
Right.
He'll never have to worry about that. Look how handsome he is.
Right.
But everyone gets old.
But the pulled tight skin on an older man's face, and then he's got like a Mrs. Doubtfire wig on top of it. It's just it was tragic on so many levels. But Clundalk saying no to the knife. Just say
I think
no
he'll
to
be fine for a while.
I don't know. Starting to look
ragged.
Starting to look almost 30 something. Bastard. And who thought that Lindsay Lohan would fulfill her obligations to the court?
No one.
What? It was almost impossible.
Almost impossible, Kevin. You're absolutely right. But yet not impossible.
Because she had someone lie for her?
No. Apparently she has worked her ass off to finish her community service at this center in New York where she was working. And she is on track to complete the required 115 hours. She is heading to court today, and a judge will either release her from her probation or sentence her to jail time, regarding on what they think in terms of the final number of hours that she's actually completed. Bobby, all accounts, could not have been working harder to fulfill her obligation to the court.
Wow.
Not since Beer Mug have I seen someone reinvent themselves.
I feel like there's going to be an update on this story.
Well, we'll see. Because by all accounts, she did it. She got it done.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
I like the fact that she was seen carrying a giant leather-bound Koran into the facility on her first day of her probation. I guess she was afraid people might start liking her. So she thought, if I carry the Koran around in the current political climate, then at least most of America will hate me. Madness. Maybe she's going to join ISIS.
I doubt that.
You think? Lindsay Lohan and ISIS?
I doubt it.
Awesome. Take down that group from the inside.
Yeah, she's the one we need.
Put Lindsay on their staff. They would just collapse that organization. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Kylie Minogue. Yeah. Goddamn right, Belle. She's 47 years old today. Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She's not on The View anymore. She's on Fox News now, right?
That's right.
Yeah. She's 38 years old. Carey Mulligan, lovely and talented actress, is 30 years old today. And actor Jake Johnson, one of the funniest men on television. I watch that New Girl, and he makes me laugh every week.
He's so funny.
He and Max Greenfield as a duo. Everybody on that cast is really good.
Yep.
But Jake is especially impressive. He's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome talks sports with us at 8 o'clock this morning like he do every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program as well. And actor Dave Duchovny coming up next hour. I'm in on this Aquarius, by the way. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah, looks good.
Fascinating period, especially in California state history. First, though, my favorite pope back in the news, Kevin. We haven't talked about his holiness in a while, but you know I love this pope so much.
Yeah, that's strange for a guy who doesn't believe in God.
I'm not a Catholic, it's true, but I do admire Pope Francis very, very much. And he did an interview with the – you know, he's from Argentina, you recall.
Right.
And he did an interview with a newspaper there called La Voz del Pueblo, Voice of the People. And he talked a little bit about what his life was like as the pope. For instance, he talked about how he doesn't have as much freedom as he'd like. He can't just walk around. He kind of misses going out and getting pizza, you know, little things like that. But the thing that really caught my attention was the pope says he hasn't watched television since 1990.
For 25 years, he hasn't watched a single second?
That's what he says. He said he promised the Virgin Mary he would no longer watch television and has not watched it since 1990. Now, you would think just being the Pope, you'd want to be pretty well informed by what's going on in the world. You would think just for news, you'd want to have a television on every once in a while, right?
And he's such a Pope of the people. You would think he'd want to be in touch. I mean, more so than any other pope.
So he could work like the new guy into his speeches?
Absolutely.
What is the new guy, Kevin?
New girl. Sorry, new girl. My bad. Okay.
Was that a cross between the new girl and the Family Guy?
Could be.
Well, he wouldn't know. He's not watching.
Right.
He
wouldn't know. I was projecting the mistake he might make because he didn't watch the show.
Well, let's find out. Why guess, Kevin? Because the Pope himself, Pope Francis, joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. It's always a thrill to talk to His Holiness. Hi, Pope Francis. You okay?
Hey, how's it going?
How about that new guy?
I don't know. I don't watch television.
Yeah, you would know.
I'm pretty sure there's no show called New Guy.
It's really good.
It's funny. It's just a show. Yeah. It does not exist.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, did we have the
hey,
basic...
Hey, God bless. How are you doing this morning?
We're good.
We're doing great, dear Holy. This is always a pleasure.
Thanks for the laughs. I need it, you know? Full-time job being the Pope.
Happy to help.
Yeah. Is it true what was reported in the... I want to make sure they quoted you correctly, that you promised the Virgin Mary you would no longer watch television in 1990, and you've never gone back on that vow?
It's just like a woman make you not stop watch television, huh?
Virgin Mary, yes.
Come on, are you with me, guys? You know, your wife says you watch so much television sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, crazy women.
But why did you promise the Virgin Mary this?
Because it was important for me to make a sacrifice for my service to God.
Okay, what was your last memory of television? Do you even know?
I got some questions, actually. I'm glad you bring that up, lady.
Okay.
Because I have questions about a lot of television I haven't seen in a long time.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, sure.
Hey, what's going on with Seinfeld? Everything okay there?
Well, Seinfeld went off the air in 98, I want to say.
Maybe, something like that. It's been a while now.
1998.
Is Kramer still crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
That Kramer comes through the door like, boom. Hello, Jerry. Oh, it's so good. I miss you.
Yeah, it's been over a while now. Mm-hmm. What else?
Hey, did Alf ever get back to Melmac?
You used to watch Alf?
Oh, I love Alf. Hey, Willie. Oh, that Alf, he's eats cats.
I don't remember how that one ended.
Really? Did he?
I don't remember how that ended.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been a long time
for us. What's happening on the Parker Lewis Can't Lose? Did he ever lose?
I don't know that answer either. He got canceled, I know that.
I thought that eventually he'd be lose.
Yeah, he might have. I'm sorry, sir. Some of these shows you're talking about, they ended so long ago that we really don't remember them.
Corey Nemec, Parker Lewis, come on.
Right. Okay. It was just a long time ago for us.
Some of those sweaters he'd wear.
Right.
Crazy sweaters.
Yep.
Hey, did Bud ever get a girlfriend or marry with children? He was lonely.
He's like 40 now.
I feel bad for him. But that Christina Applegate, huh? That can make you knock over the communion, right? Who's with me, fellas, huh?
She's a very attractive woman. She went on to star in the Anchorman movies. You would have loved those, Your Holiness. They're very funny.
Hey, Tales from the Crypt still on? I used to love that Crypt Geeker. This story coming up now is about a guy who killed somebody.
No, that's been gone for a long, long time,
it's a
too.
Good show. Hey, cheers!
Cheers, TV show?
Yeah, does Diane ever come back?
Honestly, I don't know the end of that either.
God damn it, what good are you people?
What's your language?
Sorry, I just missed TV.
Yeah.
How about Luke and Laura on General Hospital? They ever really get back together?
I don't,
I think they might be, I think they might even be on the show still. I'm not sure. I think they might still be on General Hospital.
But the Golden Girls, they're all dead, right?
All of them but one.
Oh, thank God.
Right?
I can't wait for the other one to go. I hated them. Stupid B. Arthur. Right? Who's with me, fellas, huh?
No.
I don't
feel how's Cosby doing? He seems like a nice guy. You still a good guy?
About that.
He's flexible.
I don't know that we have that kind of time.
He's America's dad.
Right.
Sure is.
I love a Cosby.
You don't so much, though.
Why not?
Don't say that out loud.
Just trust us on that.
You sure?
Yeah. I think maybe you don't take that stance publicly.
Maybe I should start reading newspaper again, too.
Yeah. I think so.
Murder, She Wrote? That's still on?
How many you got, Pope?
Come on, she murdered people, right? Or something? I never watched that show, but I know it was popular.
She solved the murders.
She sort of solved the crimes.
Murders. Well, that's good. Yeah. Someone should. Roseanne's still fat, right?
I think she is, actually.
Got one.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. You two is tonight. At the Roxy, and we have one pair of tickets left. We'll tell you when to call and win those.
Can I have them?
No.
Why?
I believe you already have a ticket.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I have more?
No.
Oh.
That song for Someone, by the way, that's a great song.
That's a good song. Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's a great song. That one in the,
what's that other great U2 song?
What's that other song by that band we like? Hey, we need some help from the Kevin and Bean listeners here. We need somebody who knows how the Google works. Well, first of all, Kevin, are you using Google or using Bing? What are you using?
What's your search engine of choice, Kevin, that you choose to use poorly?
All right. Now, yesterday I used Google. Mm-hmm. Okay. Google. All right.
That's the one I love. I love me some Google.
Google's good stuff. Right. Here's the question that we need to have answered, and then we'll explain to you why this is so terribly important. Yesterday, Kevin was trying to Google a photograph of Jay Moore. Somehow, he managed to manipulate Google in a way that no photos of Jay Moore apparently came up.
Oh, there was one.
It was the very top one. It was the first one, the very top left corner.
Yeah.
And then there were NBA players and just random people. I was baffled by
right.
it. I couldn't understand how that happened.
At least you got to Scott Kahn early on in the image search. At least you got a nice juicy picture of Scott Kahn from reality what was that football movie? Varsity Blues.
So Scott Kevin Kahn from Varsity tweets Blues. A photo of Scott Kahn, the actor Scott Kahn, instead right. of Jay Warr because he thought it was Jay Warr. Okay, but what we're all trying
which,
to
by
figure
the
out,
way, right there. Boggles the mind on so many levels.
It does.
Right. But you got there, but then you looked at the picture and said, oh, well, there's Jay Moore. He thought, looking at Scott Kahn. What? What?
Do all white people look alike to you, Kevin?
Yes.
Very racist. Very racist.
All right, so what
Scott
you guys...
Kahn. Scott Kahn.
So what you guys are missing is stupid Chip over here going, 20 seconds.
Oh, it's Chip's fault.
It's Chip's
How
fault.
Is it
oh.
Chip's fault?
Now it all becomes clear to me. Somehow it's Chip's fault that made you write, Bus, I don't know what he's talking about. He's the best.
Well, I did
Scott
learn.
Kahn picture.
I did learn that.
Press tweet.
I did learn that maybe I shouldn't rush the tweeting process.
When you take your time, you can't write a tweet.
For the most part, that's true.
But yeah. Here's what I don't get, for reals, and this is where we need a listener to weigh in who can help us understand how Google works, because I don't know how you can type in Jay Moore and get anything other than, if you then click on images, get anything other than images of Jay Moore.
Right.
I tried it, Kevin, the way you described, which is Jay Moore in quotes, and I tried it Jay Moore not in quotes,
right.
And I got virtually the same results to both, which was hundreds of pictures of Jay Moore.
All right, here's what's
and what no pictures of anyone else.
Here's what happened yesterday, and you're going to have to take my word on this one.
Okay.
Because I pretty much know what Jay Moore looks like.
You spelled Moore with a K.
I didn't. Oh. So yesterday I type in Jay Moore without quotations, and there's one picture of Jay Moore, and then everything else is not Jay Moore. And I was like, this is so weird. It doesn't make sense. So then I put quotes around Jay Moore so that my understanding is that means that it will only search for Jay Moore, the words inside the quotation marks.
In other words, Jay and Moore together.
Yes, not a
only
random
together,
Jay.
Rather than Jay in one paragraph and the word Moore in another.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because that M-O-H-R is just used so constantly in the English language. It always pops up in articles about avocados.
Now, this is where you're going to have to trust me. So yesterday, I do it without the quotations, and so many pictures that aren't Jay Moore. So then I put the quotation, and again, just no pictures of Jay Moore. Now, I knew we were going to talk about this today, so about 5 minutes ago, I went back to Google, and I typed in Jay Moore. There's just thousands of pictures of Jay Moore.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's Jay Moore.
No, but I spelled it correctly.
So you're saying you're getting different results in Google today than you got yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, so it's Google's fault.
No, it's totally my fault. But I didn't understand why it was happening yesterday, so I put it in quotations. Now, after the show yesterday, Ralph was yelling at me because he said putting it in quotations doesn't...
It's irrelevant.
It doesn't help.
With a proper name, it's irrelevant. And you were insistent that you have to put quotes around anything you want the words to be included together.
Yeah, if they're combined, if you want them to be combined. Otherwise, it will search for each term independently, I believe.
But what term out of Jay Moore is it going to be confused with?
But I think that's just
any other
example.
Jay.
I think that's just this example. I think what Kevin is saying is if you want the white stripes, put white stripes in quotes together so only those two words together come up rather than an article that may have each
the
word individually somewhere.
The only time you need to use quotes is when you're looking for a specific phrase that uses a lot of words that are randomly used in the English language, like the, of, the, that kind of stuff. If you need to include that in with the keywords, then you put the quotes around it so it won't ignore the smaller words in English that it usually ignores in a search.
Other than that,
you don't need to put quotes around it. You only use quotes for a specific phrase, like a lyric from a song or something like that. You don't need to put it around a name.
Okay, but Ralph, what would you do if you typed in Jay Moore and a whole bunch of pictures that weren't Jay Moore came
well,
up?
Well, that would never
that
happen.
That would never happen.
It did happen.
It never would.
But I'm saying it did.
No, but you did something wrong.
Kevin,
you've effed
you
up something.
Found
that's
a picture
possible.
Of Scott Kahn. So
okay.
I, just to be safe, trying to believe something,
mm-hmm.
I just put in Scott Kahn.
Uh-huh.
I've been scrolling for 5 minutes, and I haven't come to the picture you found.
Yeah, it was him wearing a cowboy hat.
It's nowhere in here.
20 years ago. I have magical powers when it comes to the internet. I don't know.
You're the Houdini of F-ups.
I don't know. I do know that that wasn't the only issue, that there were like two other misspellings as well. It wasn't just the wrong picture.
In that particular tweet, yes. You said Jay Moore is here, and he wasn't. Then you said, he the best. And then you said, bus, I don't know what he's usually talking about. Scott Conn picture.
All right, let's talk to Bryce.
You hit the cycle, basically, in that
he's in Placentia. He may have some information on how the Google works. Not that it will help us explain how Kevin was able to type in Jay Moore images and then come up with no images of Jay Moore. That is still the mystery that's on the table.
But it happened. Bryce, hi.
What a do, nephew.
Help us out with the searching.
How are you guys doing? So what happens here is if you're searching, if you're doing an image search, it pulls up an image from any article that mentions Jay Moore. Mm-hmm. So because he hosts a sports radio show, Kevin said there was a lot of athletes.
Right.
There may have been a lot of articles that mentioned Jay Moore, but the only picture attributed to that article was an athlete.
Okay. That's what I told Kevin yesterday. I said, if an athlete is referencing Jay Moore or the Jay Moore radio show, if you put it in quotes, that means it's a quote that somebody said the name Jay Moore somewhere. That's what you get if you put it in quotes.
Correct. Ralph, you're right. The proper name, you really don't need quotes on a proper name.
Right.
It's a phrase. I do digital marketing, and I work with Google. So
what do you know?
Apparently a lot. I think the reason why Scott Conn came up is because people like the monkey had already said that was Jay Moore. So Google thinks that's Jay Moore because someone already captioned that photo as being Jay Moore.
In some bad article.
Yes, or right. On some bad tweet.
You're saying there's an alternate Kevin someplace else?
There's a club of Kevin making huge mistakes on the internet that all feed into each other.
That become fact.
Yes, they're the one. All the misinformation on the internet is from people like Kevin. So.
That hurts, man.
So you don't need quotes for a proper name.
Most of the time, no. Especially with, like you said, the spelling of Moore.
Yeah, it's spelled differently.
Moore.
Right. So, it's not going to come up. It's not going to come up in a regular. All right, Bryce, I'm glad you called. We really appreciate you listening. Thanks so much. But let's go to Charles. He's in Long Beach. He's online too. I think he may have an opposing opinion, which will just do nothing but muddy the waters.
Yes, Charles, welcome.
Hi. Kevin just sucks. Quotes do work. That's true. But the thing is, it's a very complicated proprietary algorithm.
Right.
I know that doesn't sound great on the radio.
No, I'm all about algorithms.
Keywords do work. Generally, Google puts things close together. It's based on popularity, though.
Right.
And if you have a kind of common name like Jay Moore, you might want to put Jay Moore in quotes, but then put the word comedian, and that might get you a little bit closer.
But Jay Moore is not a common name. It's spelled M-O-H-R.
Yeah, there's that spelling of it, and I spelled it that way. So that's why I didn't understand
it. And he's a big celebrity, so invariably, even if it's based on popularity, those pictures and names would come up first.
Yeah.
If you throw in the word comedian or something like that, though, you can get it a little bit closer.
So your answer
generally help, but
I just type in Jay Moore and then afterwards put not Scott Conn.
That also works.
Thanks for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:57.
Dave Duchovny, next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Been a while since we caught up with him, the star of Californication, and of course, the X-Files. He's got a new series debuting tonight called Aquarius. Looks great. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
It's cool to see Dave play the older, grizzled cop partner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, looks good.
He was always sort of the young buck, FBI agent on X-Files and stuff, bucking the system. Now he's got some gravitas. He's sort of grizzled. He's older. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, I think he's Greatest Generation. I think he's a World War II guy who is having conflicts with the goddamn hippies and their rock music.
Freaking hippies and their lava lamps and their beanbag chairs and their love beads.
You know how they do, man.
Freaking Miranda rights. That's what made this country going right in the toilet, the freaking Miranda rights.
Well, that
where then
the
you
women
could
vote.
You could tune up a perp.
Wow, what's happening?
You tune up a perp with a phone book. Teach them the law that way. That's how we did it back in the day.
Back when you were on the NYPD Blue, man.
That's right. Me and Sipowicz, we'd tune a perp up.
You never tuned a perp
an
up.
Interrogation room.
That never happened.
I tuned up some perps,
that
trust
never
me.
Never happened.
There was poop turning. No, perp tuning, that's what I mean. not poop turning. There was perp tuning.
That is very different.
Poop turning was something I rented. The other night. Nobody rents anything anymore. Why are you talking about Ralph? Leave me alone, Ralph.
What's happening?
I'm sorry. I'm having a conversation with myself.
Getting a full break.
This is cool. Only because rarely do we get indie rock sort of alt artists succeeding so quickly, so significantly. But the Billboard 200 list came out this week.
Yep.
And 21 Pilots has the number one album in the country.
Yay!
They are good. I like them. That lead singer, he's a quirky little fella. But I enjoy him enormously. And I guess we're playing Tear in My Heart, their single here off the new album here on K-Rock. And if you're not familiar with the band, I'm a big fan. Here's a little taste. Believe that is 21.
Well, that's
Pilots.
One of their songs.
I don't believe it is even one of their songs.
This is another one. I mean,
and it takes a song to come around to show you how she's the tear in my heart. I'm alive. She's the tear in my heart. I'm on fire. She's the tear in my heart. Take me higher than I've ever been.
I dig that song. Dig it, sure. Like a garden. The words of Mike Catherwood. They are the number one album in America. Blurry Face is the name of their fourth full-length effort. And then the makes it that much sweeter for me is they knocked Taylor Swift out of the number one slot.
That is
so
nice.
It just keeps getting better. The news just keeps getting better. From good news to bad news. Radiohead's Thom Yorke has a new composition.
Composition?
Good old Tom has written a piece of music that is, let me see here. 432 hours long.
Wait, continuously?
Oh, yeah, Kevin. Oh, yeah. It is an 18-day-long composition of music.
But you... Like, there's no way he could even do that, right?
Well, he did it. It's called Subterranea, and it is the soundtrack to an artist named Stanley Donwood's 18-day exhibition, The Panic Office. And this music and ambient sound runs throughout the entire 18-day exposition.
Kevin, why is it you think there's no way Thom Yorke could have composed 18 days worth of music?
Well, he could, but he couldn't play it, is what I'm thinking. There's no way he could play it.
No, it's recorded.
Right.
I think you're missing the point of the story here, which is that it's 18 days long. That's how long
it's not 45 minutes that just repeats.
Right. It's original 18 original days of sound.
Did you think he stayed up and recorded for 18 days, Kevin?
I'm saying
or he's playing it live for 18 days?
Kevin.
Live to tape?
No.
Kevin.
I didn't.
A little bit?
Nope.
Initially?
Nope.
Just for a minute?
Did not happen.
You said, wait a minute.
I was thinking performing, not...
That's a long time to play music? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does Scott Conn think about the composition? Does it say?
Thom Yorke, he's a nutty little fella.
He sure is.
Yeah. Remember that time you punched him, Bean? That was nuts.
Yeah. That's how we met Ralph. That was the first time you did a voice on the show, isn't it?
Thom Yorke sent him to the hospital. That was nuts.
It was crazy.
That was a low point of this program. I apologize to Mr. Yorke.
That time was my life is blurry for me. I was deep into the sauce and the nose candy back in those days. But... I don't know whether Thom Yorke was the first thing I did with you guys or whether I was one of the many voices in the Mall of America West.
Oh, I don't know. Both were April Fool's jokes. I don't know which one.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
I think it was Thom Yorke.
Was Yorke first?
Because Radiohead was playing that night, April 1st, and so we had Bean getting a fight. He went to the hospital. It was a whole thing, and Ralph had studied, knew all of the right answers, like Tom would answer them correctly, had the voice nailed. It was awesome. The record company
was
calling
the manager of Cheeses of Nazareth,
yes,
the religious cheese shop in the Mall of America West, and
right.
I was also Burt Ward opening up Toy Wonder, the new toy store there in
the Mall of America West,
if you remember correctly. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Kylie Minogue. She's a little Australian minx. I'd like to blow her didgeridoo. Are you with me?
I am being informed
what happened.
She is in San Andreas.
Kylie Minogue?
Yes.
Well...
What about that?
Huh.
As current as today's headlines.
Hmm. She's 47 years old today. She's a pretty good actress. She was in a recent Doctor Who episode. She was brilliant in it. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, 38 years old. Actor Jake Johnson from The New Guy. I love that show over there on Fox. He is 37 years old. It's a spinoff Jake's getting. And actress Carey Mulligan is 30 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, my takeaway from seeing the San Andreas movie trailer is that we're all going to die, right? I mean, that's the only reasonable conclusion you can draw from seeing what this movie's about.
Unless your father is The Rock and he has a helicopter.
Yeah, that would help.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
San Andreas, starring The Rock, as Ralph mentioned, is one of the big summer movies. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. If you have somehow missed it, here's a little bit of the trailer.
People need to know that the shaking is not over. We'll get hit again. And it's going to be a bigger monster.
Oh, my God.
The Earth will literally crack open. And you will feel it on the East Coast. You need to get out. And I mean now. If you can't, God be with you.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yep. Paul Giamatti says, get out, get out. That's one of my rules I always live by.
It's a pretty good rule.
Yeah.
So there's a 9.1 earthquake in Southern California, if I understand correctly, and a 9.6 in the Bay Area, Northern California. Both of those are bigger earthquakes than we've ever seen, right, in California?
Yes, much
okay.
bigger.
So
much.
This is Armageddon. This is bad times right now.
I can't wait for this movie.
What is wrong with you?
This movie looks awesome.
How can you get joy out of something that's going to decimate a lot of people that you know?
Well, there's reality and then there's fiction.
But you know earthquakes are real, right?
Yes.
And you know the San Andreas Fault is real, right?
Yes.
And you know there's going to be a big one, right?
Right, yes.
Then that would be real. That's not fiction then. That's real.
Right, that's real.
Okay.
This is a movie, though.
But it's depicting what's going to happen when reality
strikes.
What might
happen? What might happen?
No, you're right. It's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful.
You're not interested in seeing this?
When the big one hits, we're all going to be sipping sweet tea with our feet up on a box of firecrackers, Kevin, because it's going to be a big party at your house.
You don't want to see this?
No!
What's wrong with you?
Because it depicts something that's going to be horrible and affect a lot of people I care about.
So it hits too close to home for you.
Yes!
It sounds like.
My wife was almost killed in Northridge. The apartment
really?
Building that she lived in collapsed on itself, and had she not been out at her parents' house that night, it would have landed on her.
No kidding.
Yes.
Dude.
She barely escaped with her life from Northridge.
Right, but this...
Northridge was a spit in the bucket compared to this and what the big one is going to be like.
Right.
Real people are really going to die.
So, Ralph, would you say that... It sounds like you're not saying you won't go because you're afraid to see this. It's just distasteful to you.
Yes.
It seems like you're laughing in the face of God.
I don't want to go through the 2 hours of, oh, isn't this a fun time with popcorn, when I know the reality behind it and the eventual reality it's depicting.
Now, you know that the big one, although it is inevitable, is more likely than not to not even happen in our lifetime, though, Ralph.
Or
it could happen in 100 years. It could happen in 500 years.
It doesn't mean people are going to die and it's not going to be just disaster.
But you also don't know the effects that it's going to have on people. It depends on where it is. It depends on
That's
how deep
true.
It is.
A lot of people will get better from it.
No, but I'm saying there's a lot of different variables.
There's cancer in some of them.
No, but I'm saying it won't necessarily be this depiction of it. This is a fictional work of what happens if this particular earthquake happened to this particular city. You don't know that it's going to be this earthquake. You don't know it's going to be the same place.
That's where the fault is, though. The fault is they're depicting what's going to happen along that fault, the San Andreas Fault.
Right.
We know where that is. It's not a guess.
Right.
It's like, oh, it might happen
but
in the high
also,
desert.
But they're not fortune tellers. They're not saying this is exactly what's going to happen. It's just a movie.
But you know earthquakes shake buildings to the ground. Much
yes.
smaller ones than what's going to happen.
But I think in Kevin's defense, though, Ralph, God, it hates me to say that.
It hates you to say that?
It does hate me to say that. The 1994 Northridge quake, which was what, like a 7.1 or something like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, as tragic as it was, like 50 people died in an area of 20 million people. So the chances
right.
that it really hurts you or someone you know are pretty low, even if it's a big earthquake.
Well, I'm not even – so it doesn't have to be someone in my family, Bean. I can still feel bad about what's going to happen to even the strangers who live in the Southern California area. It's going to be a disaster. I mean, that quake, which was significantly smaller than what they're predicting the big one will be, brought down the 10 freeway and brought down apartment buildings and brought down homes and disrupted. I mean, you know what's going to happen to the infrastructure in terms of getting water and the possible liquefaction of the Santa Monica area?
First of all, water is not an issue for Southern California.
I mean,
traffic's not a problem either.
The potential long-range disaster that would come from a major earthquake in Southern California is just so painful to think about, so reprehensible to me that I can't see making entertainment out of it. I can't enjoy that.
That's why I didn't see Sharknado.
Like, same thing, right?
That's a good point. Good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Christine is in the studio with us, our sister producer.
Yes, sister producer Christine. Now, you're not going to see this movie for a completely, I think, completely different reason, right?
You know, I'm not like an earthquake overreactor like a lot of people. I barely ever get out of bed. They just don't bother me like that.
Right.
But the idea of the big one, I think because one of my very first memories as a little child was the Whittier Narrows quake. And that was so scary. It was a little bit smaller than the Northridge one, but it was directly in our area that we lived in. And people's houses collapsed, like trees fell on their cars. And, you know, there's like a lot of really bad things that happened. I know a few people that went to the hospital.
Right.
So I think the idea of something bigger than that, because that was like one of my first memories as a little kid, is so terrifying to me. Little earthquakes don't bother me. I don't get out of bed. It doesn't. That doesn't matter, but the
How
idea
often
of this
one. Do you think
one,
about the big one? Like, through the every day? Does it occur to you, oh my God?
No.
Today could be the day?
I mean, maybe if, like, people talk about it, like, in passing, but it's something that if I do really think about it, is so terrifying to me.
After the. When was it? 94?
90, that was Northridge. 92,
94.
That was Northridge.
Yeah. After that, a bunch of people moved out of Southern California. They were just like, we're gone. Yeah. We don't want to go through this again.
And I can't say it's not. That's irrational. If the best scientists are saying, yes, it's going to happen, it's not irrational to say, well, then I'm going to take myself out of the area where it's going to happen.
We were talking yesterday in the office about, because for earthquakes, you can't predict them, right?
Right.
So every other thing that seems so scary, like hurricanes
and tornadoes.
Paul Giamatti
said that you need to get out because it's
coming.
Paul
Giamatti
said that.
But that already had one there. Oh. He said the shaking hadn't stopped yet. There was already an initial quake.
Oh.
And it's going to get bigger.
All right. We've got to take a break. Now. I think it might be fun to
take some calls. I am not drinking Merlot.
Different movie, Rob. Right? I think it might be fun to take some calls for people at what their reaction is. Look, the vast majority of people are like Kevin, and like most people who go to the movies are dying to see this movie. This is one that people have been looking forward to, and it looks great. That's going to be the most people. But I think we're looking for the damaged people. We're looking for the Ralphs. We're looking for the Christines. We're looking for the people who are freaked the F out by this movie, and no way. That's who we want to talk to at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. You're next on K-Rock. Nope.com. Gina writes in, I don't need to see my worst fears up on the screen talking about the San Andreas film that opens up everywhere tomorrow. I know I would be a mess watching this movie about all these people dying in my hometown getting obliterated. Look, I love The Rock, and I know this flick will probably be a lot of fun for folks who can separate the real from the incredibly not likely, but I am not one of them, says Gina from Torrance. Talking about San Andreas, there are people that this movie is meant to be fun, and I'm sure it is, but it's also meant to be terrifying. And
Looks awesome, personally.
It does.
It has nothing to do with the film. The film looks great. It looks like it's well done and looks action-packed and entertaining and all kinds of stuff.
That's why we love The Rock.
It's about me. It's not about the film.
Yeah.
And I think I just can't do it. I don't think I could derive joy from that scenario.
Well, I'm going to watch it twice. Once for me and once for you.
You should do that.
1-800-520-1067. Let's find out how it is affecting others who maybe have a little bit of a fear of earthquakes on a day-to-day basis. Let's start with Natalie. She's in Torrance. She's up first on line one.
Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
So you're excited about this movie or not?
No, I cried. I couldn't go to bed.
You cried you couldn't go to bed when? After you saw the trailer?
After I saw the trailer.
Wow.
I could not go to bed. I didn't let my husband sleep. I'm like, we need to make a plan. We need to have a emergency pack, I told him. Our little lighter and flashlight ain't going to do anything for us.
Well, now I feel better about myself knowing that you're crazier than I am, Natalie.
You didn't let your husband sleep either.
No, I didn't.
Listen, I'm married to an earthquake preparedness nut, so we've got a bunker filled with stuff. So it's not a bad idea to have a plan, and maybe if this movie spurs people into action of being aware of the potential and they prepare, maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's very much a teachable moment. Hey, Natalie, we're going to give you Ralph's address, so you can just go right to his house in the event of the big one.
I have a gun.
He has a bunker.
I will shoot looters.
You have a bunker as well. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Small
that.
Bunker.
We got some good ones. Let's go to Amy and Yorba Linda. How about her up next on line 7?
All right. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
San Andreas.
Never would I see that movie. I
looks so good.
Was in the Northridge quake when I was 20, and my parents' house was like everything fell, everything broke. And so even today, I think about earthquake daily, daily.
Oh, let me ask you about that, because I lived in, it was in Chatsworth at the time, which is right next to Northridge, and it really shook, and I don't think about it ever.
But Kevin,
shut up, Rob.
You're you. What do you? What do you think about ever?
Okay, but she thinks about it every day.
Daily.
She was traumatized.
And all my cupboards have child locks on them, so like my glasses won't fall, and everything's hooked to the walls. Everything.
Yeah.
I'm prepared.
I think it's the fear of what's going to happen to my Batman collection really factors into this, actually.
That's legitimate, by the way. When I think about
earthquakes. I do get a little sweaty when I think about what my collection's going to look like when it's all over.
I just make sure my alcohol's on the lower shelf because that's good. What I remember the most. All the alcohol in my parents' house fell and broke.
Yeah, and you're going to need it after that's this, right. too, you by the drink. Way. You're going to need all the booze to be intact.
All right, I'm going to have to watch it once for you, too, Amy.
Hey, Amy, I got a quick question for you. If you're that type of person who's really that afraid of a real-life earthquake happening at any time, why didn't you move away? Why weren't you one of those people who did leave in 94?
We are planning to move to Colorado in, like, the next year or two, and that is, like, one major factor.
But you're really slow at getting a plan together. Well, the earthquake happened in 94. Yeah. She might move in the next couple years.
I hope your timing's right. Yeah. Wouldn't it suck if the big one hit before you moved to Colorado?
It really would.
That would suck. I hope that doesn't happen to you, Amy.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. How about John in Woodland Hills? He's on line 3.
All right. Hi, John.
Hey, party people. So, Ralph, I got a question for you. Did you not watch Wizard of Oz? Because it depicts a tornado that killed a witch.
I'm glad we took this call to be the last one.
Well, I mean, if you're never going to watch a movie about any type of natural disaster, whether it occurs on the West Coast.
I didn't say I was never going to watch a movie about a natural disaster.
Okay, so
because the tornado was localized, and also you see it coming, and
but then it killed one person.
Yeah, right. A lot of movies kill people, but this
I think earthquakes are way more terrifying for Southern Californians than tornadoes are,
and witches for that matter.
Oh no, witches too. I think is right up there.
Yeah,
right. But they do exist in the Midwest. So if you say that you care,
witches
about
exist
people,
in the Midwest.
Tornadoes.
Oh.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't live in the Midwest, so I guess that's why it doesn't bother me so much.
And those are only Midwestern people who die.
Look, I can't worry about everybody.
That's right, man. You're just one man.
But what I'm saying is this is fiction. This is fictional.
But what it's depicting is not fictional.
It is.
Obviously.
It's all fictional.
Oh,
this movie is all
fiction.
It's all made up.
Earthquakes aren't real.
No, you don't know how bad they're going to be. You don't know where they're going to hit. You don't know
but
if
I
people are
going
to die. You don't know any of that
information. I do. I know people are going to die, and it's going to be bad when a big earthquake hits Southern California. But that's just a fact, Kevin.
But don't you feel like, Ralph, in real life, The Rock is likely to save us again?
I do, actually, yes. He will probably come by with a helicopter.
You run out of your house, you look up for The Rock in a helicopter, and you're good.
I'm hoping Hulk Hogan saves me. If it's going to be a wrestler, I'd like the Hulkster to pull up in a Jeep. Right, brother?
That's right, brother. So you're telling me U2 at the Roxy is tonight?
That's what I'm telling you, yeah.
You're telling me the biggest band in the world playing the smallest venue that they played in 40 years, and that's happening tonight on the fabulous Sunset Strip. We have one pair of tickets left, and Kevin, I sense that you're disappointed in how we're giving them away.
Well, I don't want to be the cause that somebody loses out on seeing that. Do you? Wouldn't you feel bad?
But I feel like you'll be giving everybody the same opportunity to get past you, to win, I think. Kevin Blowhum's The Hits coming up in the 9 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Your last chance to win tickets for U2.
Can I apologize in advance? Is that acceptable?
It's all come down to that.
Mm.
Lifelong U2 fans will be counting on you, Kevin, to help them get into the venue.
I can't whistle, which makes everyone here laugh.
Uh-huh.
And so I am going to not whistle U2 songs, and then you're going to identify them.
Did you practice
so not, last not night? Now. I see all the phones are ringing. Not now. We'll be doing that a little bit later on. Give Rome on the program. Night. As well, coming up. First, though, let's talk a little Age of Aquarius, premiering tonight on NBC. Here's a little bit of the trailer. If you haven't seen this yet, it looks awesome.
You gotta read his rights.
What?
You gotta do it.
You, dirtbag, have the right to rights you don't deserve, or I'll kick your teeth in.
Oh, yeah.
Sam?
Grace, what is it?
My daughter, Emma, she's gone.
Get my little girl back.
She took off with this guy.
What guy? We're special. We're powerful. We can change everything.
I'm Charlie Manson.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. Yep. Those are not the words that you want to hear when your little girl's involved. I'm Charlie Manson. Our old friend Dave Duchovny back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, Mr. Duchovny. How are you, sir?
Hey. I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Good to hear your voices.
Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. I was just thinking we've been having you on the show on and off for more than 20 years. You've always been very generous with your time. But I feel like now...
It's been 20 years. Wow.
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite...
What were you going to say?
One of my favorite memories on the Kevin Beach and all the years we've been doing this show, Dave, was when you guys had us up to Vancouver on the set of the X-Files. We got a chance to hang out with you guys and watch some of you guys' film. That was so much fun. We'd love that.
Well, you should do it again because we're going back there, you know.
I think what he was going for.
Yeah. That was he was fishing for an invite right there.
Did I just walk right into that?
Yep. Well done.
Well,
yes,
played,
you did.
Sir. Well played.
Well, Mr. Duchovny has been busy. Just this year, he's released a book, he's released an album, and he's filmed a new TV show that we were just talking about that premieres tonight called Aquarius, and it looks so awesome. Now, I am particularly fascinated with late 1960s California, Dave. How about you?
Well, you are our target audience, then. You are the man for which the show was made. That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, we're set up 2 years before the Tate LaBianca murders, and I get tasked by this woman that I'm still in love with, who's married to a lawyer who's involved with the Reagan governorship, to find their daughter because she's run away, and it's an embarrassment to the family. They don't want her in the papers, so I track her down to the desert, where she's living on a hippie commune with a young fellow by the name of Charlie Manson.
Mm. And I love what we've seen in the trailer so far of your character, because you're a Greatest Generation guy, right? Your cop is, yeah, he's now a cop, he's a World War II vet, and he just doesn't, yeah, cotton to all these goddamn hippies in their rock music, right?
No, he doesn't like it. You know, he's patterned kind of after, you know, Lee Marvin and Point Blank, and he's a quiet guy, he's somewhat distanced and ironic, and he doesn't buy into all this feelings, talking about your feelings and growing your hair out and, you know, and all the 60s stuff. He's really an outsider, and he's trying to save the world, his own world that is already gone. I mean, he doesn't know that he's already a dinosaur, which is what I find kind of tragic and great about the character.
I agree. I love character studies like that. I mean, I don't know if you watched Mad Men or not, Dave, but that was one of, yeah, my favorite things, was watching how out of step John Hamm became at some point when he didn't identify with the Beatles and he didn't care about so many other things that his coworkers cared about. I mean, it happens to almost everybody at some point. They stop becoming young, but it's fascinating to see, yeah, your character go through it because he's a cop.
Yeah, there's this old Charles Adams cartoon, you know, the Adams Family
sure,
creator, and it's got these two unicorns on a mountaintop, and it's obvious that the flood is happening, and Noah's Ark is out there in the distance, and it's obvious that they've missed the boat, you know. And I always kind of go back to that as, like, these kind of characters are like the unicorns that missed the Ark, you know, and they don't know it.
How much do you remember of the Charles Manson story, and how much did you have to go back and sort of brush up?
I was into it like a lot of kids. I was into a lot of boys. I was into dinosaurs first and foremost, and then murder, you know.
That's a natural progression right there.
That's the 1-2.
Boys, you know, and crime. You know, little boys are kind of interested in crime. They're interested in pushing the limits and in breaking the law and that kind of stuff, and what's bad and what's good. And I remember Manson was the murderer of my childhood generation, you know, and I learned about Lizzie Borden, and I learned about Leopold and Loeb, and Manson was, he was talked about in the media as if he was the devil. And, you know, at 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, that's very enticing to a child. Like, oh, my God, the devil is actually on the planet, and I can, yeah, I see what he looks like, you know. So he's, yeah, really a media creation in that way. You know?
I was curious about that, because it's hard for me now because we're so saturated with media now, and everything's 24-hour all the time, always. And I know what it would be like in the social media age to have a real-life person like Charles Manson out there. Right. But back then, was that information so widely disseminated? Was it talked about on the radio and on TV all the time? Was it in the newspapers every day, like,
no,
everybody was aware of it?
I don't think so. I mean, I wasn't aware of it when it was happening as a kid. And I grew up in New York, so it was probably a big deal on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And I think Joan Didion, you know, she encapsulated it best when she talked about, it was like the first senseless murder, you know, the first murder apparently without motive at all that, yeah, hit the headlines. And that ushered in a new kind of age. People got very scared that now we've entered the age where people are just going to kill each other for no reason rather than love and money and the things that we're used to, you know.
Yeah, and you said you start 2 years before the famous murders.
Yeah, we start, because the show's really, it's really about the 60s, and it's really about the characters. And what I always found, that's courtesy of New York honking horns for you right there.
Yes.
You can have it for free. What I found interesting about Manson in the 60s is that he really is the end of the 60s, because Manson was held up, and again, it's a media creation. Manson was held up as, this is what's going to happen if you kids keep taking drugs and growing your hair and having sex and listening to that music.
Right.
When in fact, Manson was not a hippie. Manson was a greaser with long hair. He was like a con man of a hippie. He used that rap because he knew it would work with the young kids. And after Manson, you know, we really lurched to the right, because Manson was held up as what's going to happen if we keep going left.
Interesting. And Manson, and I know we don't have very much time here, Dave, we're up against the break here, but Manson never killed anyone, right? But he had incredible powers of persuasion. He was able to drag people into his web and get them to do his bidding. Do we get to see some of that from his perspective on the show as well?
Absolutely. He's a full-blooded character in the show, and Gethin Anthony, who plays him, does, I think, a beautiful job, because he doesn't try to do kind of a boogeyman impersonation of the guy. He really shows the charismatic sign. He's a great talker. Manson must have been a great talker. He must have been very persuasive. And no, he didn't actually, you know, he was never convicted for murdering anybody with his own hands. He was convicted for influencing these young kids to do it, which is a very strange way to get convicted for murder. But, you know, it happened, and he's still in jail.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you my last question on that, and I'm asking you to guess here, because you don't know. But, I mean, what's the lure of Charles Manson in the 21st century, the fact that he's still in jail? He's like an 80-year-old man with still got a swastika tattoo on his forehead, yet he's got some 25-year-old girl that visits him in prison every week and wants to marry him. Like, why do people still love this guy to a certain extent?
Probably for the same reason little boys like dinosaurs and murder. You know, I don't really know. I think. Oh God, it's hard to say. I think he's just become a symbol for so much, and I don't know what happened with that girl. But I remember it was in the news around Valentine's Day, and it was so funny, because the feeling to me was people were walking around going, you know, single people were like, Jesus, Manson's got a girl. I can't get a girl.
That makes me look bad.
Exactly.
Manson's 120, and he's in jail, and he's got a hot 20. What's wrong with me?
Yeah. Age of Aquarius. The show is called Aquarius. I keep wanting to call it Age of Aquarius, but it's just called Aquarius. It premieres tonight on NBC. Yeah. NBC, 9 o'clock, two-hour premiere. And then we should mention, if you are captivated by this, as I expect you will be, you can then watch the entire season, if I understand correctly, on NBC. Yeah. NBC.com and on Hulu, right?
Yeah, on Hulu Plus, I believe it's called. And that's right. It's kind of an experiment, and it's interesting. I think it's a vote of confidence from NBC and real recognition of the type of show we are, because it's not the kind of hourly cop drama that wraps up a case every week. It's really a long-running, epic, broad canvas kind of storytelling. So it does lend itself to kind of watching more than one at a time.
And how many episodes are there in the season?
There's 13 this year, and if y'all like it, then we get to do more.
That's
John
great.
McNamara has kind of, the creator of the show, has 6 years in his head, so I'd be happy to go along for that ride.
All right.
Now, in the meantime, you guys got to play some of my music. Come on. Do
well,
me right.
I was just the last just hour say, we yesterday.
I was just going to say, I know we're out of time now, Dave, but as your schedule permits and you find yourself back home in California, come in and see us. We'll play some music, talk about the X-Files, talk about the other stuff going on. Absolutely.
I would love to do that. I'll DJ, and I promise it won't be all my music, but it's mostly my music.
All right, we'll hook it up. Aquarius tonight at NBC. Our friend Dave Duchovny on the phone. Great to catch up with you, sir.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you, Dave.
It is 7:55. Ralph is here.
Solo.
Time for the
Just yelled bass solo. That guy was
Ralph is here. Time for the show's beat. Then Jim Rome right after the top of the hour here on Kara. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, guess what? They just reinvented.
What did they just reinvent?
The piano.
What does that
understand?
Right,
us.
Exactly.
How do we, what?
You know how many years we've been playing the same old damn piano?
Several hundred.
A lot,
yeah. Well, apparently that was crap. It was a crap piano.
Okay.
As a new guy came along and built the piano the way it should be built, and now it's much better.
Okay.
You can always improve on stuff. Isn't that crazy? That you could make a better piano? Wouldn't you think all the pianos had been done at this point? We fixed that piano is just the way it's going to be forever?
Hey, Bean.
I don't know.
What's
I don't have the answer to your question.
About?
I have no idea.
I'm just looking at music news. A guy
invented a piano.
Reinvented the piano. Has changed the way the piano is made. That is apparently just leaps and bounds beyond the way the piano has always been.
Meaning it sounds better, or it's easier to play, or
all
what?
Of those things.
You know, Steinways and all those kind of pianos? Those strings apparently always cross over each other.
Okay.
This guy built it so it doesn't. They go in perfectly straight rows. There's no friction anymore. It changes everything. It's the way it always should have been. And somebody 3,000 years later says, hey, this blows. Why are we doing it this way? Why don't we do it that way? And it's always been better that way.
So suck it, Beethoven?
Right. That deaf bastard. F him. Right in the ear.
I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm just telling you, I'm reading music news, and that was, they just reinvented the piano. It's like saying, oh, now there's an, I got a new drum. You know,
everything you've been doing, you used to hit with the stick, the drum.
BS, that's out the window. It no longer is relevant. With my new drum, this happens.
Now, I hate to ask any more questions to prolong this boring conversation.
How dare you?
Has this new piano been built, or is this just a theory?
This is for reals.
Open up a blog.
Okay.
Two of them exist. The Barenheim Piano.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Barenheim.
Okay.
Boom. Okay. Has invented two brand new pianos that never existed before. Boom. Live it, love it, learn it.
That's late breaking news here on the Kevin DeBee Show. Let's get exclusive.
Thank you. Now you know, right? Who's with me?
Won't get this on Ken and Bob or whoever is on the air.
It's Ken and Bob.
No idea.
Speaking of music news, tragic news out of Chicago. Did you hear about the Chevelle concert last Friday night in Chicago?
I did not.
No.
They're playing, and there's a 24-year-old fan who somehow made his way backstage at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago. And he climbs up on the catwalk, and he decides to walk out on the ceiling of the venue, falls through some plaster in the ceiling, and then gets impaled on two metal organ pipes. They have a giant pipe organ at this venue. He lands on the pipe organ, and the organ pipes go through him. And he died 30 minutes later at the...
Wow.
At the hospital.
That doesn't seem like a good time.
Impaled on organ pipes. Jeez.
That's... You should have been playing one of those new pianos.
Right! See?
Would have been safe.
Safe. Here's some good news. 19 Kids and Counting may not be off TLC's schedule.
I thought they canceled it right when
they pulled it from the air. They pulled all the upcoming episodes, but they have not. Apparently, TLC has not decided on whether to cancel the show or not. They may be bringing it back without Josh Duggar, however, because 19 Kids and Counting takes on a brand new connotation with Josh Duggar.
Yeah.
But it's weird because they have not, they're refusing to cancel the show.
How do you not cancel that?
I mean, people aren't going to watch it, and the advertisers are dropping like flies, well, so what's the advantage for them to put it on?
They are, they have lost a few advertisers. General Mills, Choice Hotels, and Payless Shoes have all dropped the show. But they're still debating it, which is inexplicable to me.
Hmm. Ralph, forgive me if you don't know this, but is there a possibility of criminal charges against this guy for touching his sisters?
I believe the statute of limitations has passed because he was just 14 years old or something when it happened. But and some of it's his own family, so I don't even know if they would press charges, you know?
Right.
It's just disgusting.
So they're just going to move on without him like nothing happened?
Yeah, they would just cut him out of the show and continue with the show.
But continue with the parents that knew it was going on and did nothing about it.
Basically covered it up, you mean?
And continue with the sisters that were supposedly molested.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I've seen some
good
articles
idea
on the kind of homeschooling that these Duggar kids had and the stuff that they were being taught.
The whole thing's effing shaky. The whole thing.
It's a cult. It really is a cult.
Sure. Yeah, this just... Oof. And everyone should have known this, and you could sense it going way back. If you ever watched the show, you could see the whole thing was just effed up. So there was something weird going on in that house. Not to mention, you keep pumping out 19 kids, and the older ones are raising the younger ones, and nobody goes to school, and you all live in the same compound. Come on.
It definitely seemed like they were building their own civilization. Like they didn't have any need or interest in anything having to do with the outside world.
I get TLC and I get the programming and what they do, and I know there's an audience for this, but at some point, don't you have to say, let's stop celebrating the freaks of the world?
Oh, God, no. No, no. No, because now you're talking about My Strange Addictions. The girl eats bricks. I'm not talking about documentaries.
I'm talking about making TV stars out of the Honey Boo Boos and the Duggars and all these other damaged weirdos and making them and celebrating them and making them media icons, when in reality, no good comes from the things that they do.
Well, this seems like an easy decision for TLC. I don't understand how they're even still considering it.
I would think so, too. And how about some good news? Tracy Morgan has apparently settled his lawsuit against Walmart out of court. If you ever wondered how much money Walmart has, apparently enough to pay off Tracy Morgan to make him drop his lawsuit. And I hope he just got all the money, because that was a horrible thing that happened in that that accident on the Jersey Turnpike.
Remind me, it was a Walmart truck?
A Walmart truck slammed into Tracy Morgan and three friends who were riding in a limo van on the Jersey Turnpike after a gig. Tracy's friend and fellow comedian James McNair was killed. The others were injured. And apparently Walmart has already settled with McNair's children and everyone else in the van, and has taken care of all the medical bills. And they can't say how much, but apparently a hefty settlement was provided to all involved. So.
I'm going to get everybody pregnant.
And he also got everybody pregnant. So that happened.
I don't think that happened.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Carey Mulligan is 30 years old today. Now, she is not Michelle Williams, right? I just want to double check. She is not the one who's Michelle Williams?
No.
I think Michelle Williams is that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. This one is Carey Mulligan. She's the one who's married to Marcus Mumford.
Right. But don't you just confuse those two all the time?
They are cute
with, their pixie haircuts and everything else?
I mean, if you're of the all white chicks look alike, yeah.
Stop
That's
it.
Racist.
Yes, Bean's a racist.
Bean is a racist.
Was Carey Mulligan in Gatsby with DiCaprio?
Yes.
She was real good in that then. Mm-hmm. Jake Johnson's 37 years old today. He from The New Girl, or New Girl, as it's actually known. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is 38. And Kylie Minogue, who apparently, I'm being told, is in San Andreas.
I've heard that as well.
She's 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We've got to stop letting Jim Rome make requests before his segment, by the way. Seriously, Oasis, Wonderwall, Jim? Come on, man. Get in the 21st century. What's up with you, dude?
Dude, I was going to say, dudes, is it me or do you always bring me in with Oasis?
I don't believe we do.
I don't think so. That's the first time I feel like we played Oasis song in a long time, and I thought it was your
doing. Yeah, I feel like every single time I come on, you do that. What, Coldplay didn't want any of that? Wow, fellas, right. Thanks.
Hey, the Jim Rome Show airs 9 to noon on The Beast AM 980 and Jim Rome on Showtime with new episodes every week. He joins us every Thursday at this time on The Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir? How's your week been going on?
It's so good, so good. A perfect week, Kevin. A perfect week, Bean. How about you, fellas?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. A lot of good stuff to talk about. I guess we might as well start with the NBA Finals. Because of some sort of fluke in the scheduling, we always laugh and joke about how long the NBA Finals are. So the teams are set for the championship round, but it doesn't start for another week. We sit around for 7 more days before basketball again. Why do they do it this way, Jim?
Let me tell you something. It's a good thing. Think about, especially if you're in the position I'm in right now, and I've got to talk sports every single day, you get to the middle of summer, man, there is nothing. There is nothing good. Just a bunch of NFL noise, baseball games that don't matter. I wish they'd push it back 2 weeks, string it out, and give us what we need. And plus, guys are all busted up. You saw Kyrie Irving is hurt right now, but he's coming back. Steph Curry looked like he broke his neck the other night.
Sure
Klay
did,
Thompson looked like he broke his face last night. Give them time to get healthy, and let's string this thing out. The wait is actually a good thing, fellas. It's not a bad thing.
Is that usual? Is there usually a wait of a week before they start the finals?
No, and there's usually not, and there's talk of trying to move it up, but it's actually a good thing. Man, don't fight this. Embrace the suck. Embrace the suck. This is a good thing. So, no, not typical, but a good thing in this case.
If you would have had your choice of teams to meet in the finals when you started with a field of 16 when the playoffs began, how would you have felt about Cleveland versus Golden State? Would that have been a matchup you were happy to see?
It's awesome. Yeah, exactly. This is a very good matchup. You've got the best player in the world in LeBron James. You've got the MVP in Steph Curry. You've got a couple of teams that have not won anything in a long time. Cleveland hasn't won anything in 50 years. The Warriors have not won a championship in 40 years. This is as good as it gets, exactly what you want. I mean, you want to see the best players on the biggest stage, right? So if it was starting in 2 weeks, that'd be better, but I'll take it in a week.
Let's talk about LeBron James since you mentioned him. He's going to his 5th consecutive NBA Finals. That doesn't happen very often. Where do you rank him in the best players of all time right now, Jim? Not knowing whether he's going to win this championship for Cleveland or not.
Well, looking at what this guy's done, to go back to Cleveland and reach the NBA Finals in his first year without Kevin Love, with a banged-up Kyrie Irving, a few Nick rejects, a first-year head coach who he doesn't respect, it's pretty impressive. And if he cashes it in this year, then it's incredible. But in terms of the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the ring is still the thing. And at two, that's not enough to get consideration. Neither is three. Get back to me when he gets to four or five. Then we'll have that conversation. Until then, it's still Mike.
How old is LeBron right now? He's still got plenty of time, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's 30. He looks 50. But the way the thing is setting up, I mean, he's playing some of his best basketball ever. The East is not going to get any better anytime soon, and guys will always want to come and play with him. So he's got two, but I could see him adding one or even three more. If he gets there, then we've got a conversation.
Do you think his career gets shortened a little bit because he doesn't have anyone to play with? He's sort of carrying that whole team right now.
You know, it doesn't shorten his career. What shortens his career is these deep runs into the postseason. I mean, the postseason alone is going to add a few extra years to his career. But, you know, the guy is 30 and the guy takes care of himself.
Yeah.
He's got great habits. I mean, again, I think this guy, I could see him winning another one or two or more than that because people will want to come play with him. And the East is a joke. It's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Will he play long enough that he will require another hair transplant?
Well, man, I knew it'd get there at some point.
Right?
I knew you'd get there at some point.
There
man,
was.
Why are you always dogging this guy about his hair? There's nothing you can do about that other than put in more plugs and rock the world's biggest headband.
Who do you like? Before we move on to hockey, who do you like? Who will win the series, Jim?
I like Golden State. I like Golden State. Everybody's just saying that they're going to roll right over them. And a couple of weeks back, I would have said the same thing. But there's something about Cleveland. They're playing with a lot more confidence. And as good as Golden State is defensively, LeBron is still a different animal altogether. So I like Golden State, not as much as I did a couple of weeks back, but I can see them winning it in seven.
Last week when we had you on at this time, Jim Rome, you mentioned to us that hockey playoffs are the best things in sports. And this weekend, you've got two game sevens to determine who moves on. Couldn't be more excited about that.
I mean, it's so good. I'll say it again. The NHL is not the NFL. It's not the NBA. It may not even be Major League Baseball, but the NHL postseason is the best thing ever. And then you've got the Ducks. Now, when we first started talking about this, guys, I said, my head says the Blackhawks. My heart says the Ducks. I want the Stanley Cup to come back to SoCal where it belongs. And now they come back for a Game 7. I'm kind of in a quandary right now. I don't want to flip on my pick, but I did say Blackhawks before the series started.
Yeah, you said you wanted the Ducks to win, but you picked the Blackhawks. I think that's what you said on the air.
I think that's what I said.
Yeah,
I'm covered, right? I want the Ducks to win. I want the Ducks to win. I want that Stanley Cup back here in Southern California where it belongs. But there's something about Chicago, man. They've been there before. And guys like Taves, Kane, Sharp, even goalie Corey Crawford, who I do not trust at all, they've dealt with Detroit. They beat John Quick and the Kings. They won a Stanley Cup on the road in Boston. These guys don't trip. So I don't think they're going to be afraid of a bunch of rich Newport Beachers who throw down $500 for Game 7 ducats.
All right, so the Eastern Conference Finals, that's New York Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's Friday night, Game 7. And then Saturday night is Game 7 with the Ducks and Blackhawks.
Doesn't suck, right?
It's a great time
to
be alive.
Doesn't suck at all. All right, last question from me, Mr. Rome, and that is, does the average soccer fan care that a whole bunch of FIFA executives, that's the governing body of world soccer, were arrested? Will that have any effect on the fans' interest or participation in watching the game?
No, not at all. I mean, if these people like soccer, then nothing like that's going to change their mind. And even worse, these scumbags in FIFA, I mean, it's unbelievable how corrupt they are and what goes on. I don't even think that's going to change anything at all. I mean, they go in there with their indictments and their arrests, and they pull a bunch of rich guys out of a five-star hotel. And you know, the second they threw the handcuffs on them, they start to flop around looking for their Capri Sun. He's the worst.
Orange slices.
This is literally orange slices. It is the dirtiest, scumbaggeriest organization ever. And I don't think it's going to change anything at all. And especially not for a soccer fan who will blindly love the beautiful game no matter what happens.
Kevin.
How dare
Kevin,
you,
first Kevin.
Look
Kevin.
At Mr. World Cup, Kevin.
Look,
are you going to go to Russia?
I'm probably going to go to Russia, yes. I love the World Cup, but everybody that follows soccer knows FIFA is the most... It's the worst, you know, governing body ever. And it's totally corrupt. Everybody has known that for 15 years.
Yes, like Kevin, how you reconcile that? Like, how is that okay? Why is that all right? You just don't care because the game is so beautiful?
Correct.
You
Thank
go to
you,
Russia,
Jim.
You spend a ton of money that goes directly into their pockets.
The game is so beautiful. Jim answered the question. Because Jim loves soccer just like I do.
Jim
That's what I like
soccer.
About Jim.
Jim hates soccer.
Dude, soccer sucks. The game is not beautiful. And can I tell you about FIFA? I mean, seriously, you're going to give the World Cup to Qatar? I mean... What is it, like 240 degrees in the summertime? Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's give it to a country and play it in the summertime where there is no stadium built, there is no infrastructure, and it's hotter than the surface of the sun. Great idea. I'm sure money and bribes had nothing to do with that decision at all. Nothing.
That's how you
get Kevin, how is that all right?
It's not all right. But that's been going on with FIFA for a long time. That's not necessarily the fault of the teams or the nations that are in it. They bribe everybody in FIFA. That's been common knowledge. I'm glad they're getting busted for it. It's
soccer is a reason to riot. Soccer is a reason to bribe. There's really nothing redeeming about it right now. You'd go to Russia? Hell, I had to go up the freeway to Carson, and that wasn't even worth my time.
Well, I go to
Russia.
How dare you? I go to all
this
the galaxies.
That's why we
games,
love our friend Jim Rome. You can hear 3 full hours of the man himself, 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast this morning and every weekday, and Jim Rome on Showtime as well. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time.
Yeah, we will. And Kevin, I don't know you anymore, man.
All right, everybody. Strap in. You're about to be left behind unless you pay very close attention to our next guest. He is a very funny stand-up comedian and also the smartest man in the world with a new book out called The Smartest Book in the World. Please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show our friend Greg Proops.
Hello, everybody.
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. I'm out here promoting my book, The Smartest Book in the World. I'd like to say it's my newest book, but it's really my only book. I just learned to read and write, and so I wrote one.
Here's how I knew, Kevin, that you and I were going to have trouble with this book. The title is The Smartest Book in the World, A Lexicon of Literacy, A Rancorous Reportage, A Concise Curriculum of Cool. So what's up with that title, Greg?
Well, it's just a bunch of stuff I like, basically. It's stuff I talk about on the podcast. So it's records you should buy and movies you should watch and art you should steal and and baseball. So it's all the stuff I like. So it's got, you know, like Sly and the Family Stone and Marvin Gaye and Aretha Franklin, which seems like 101 for us. But you have to remember, if you're under a certain age, you've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And that's true of, that's true of all things. That's true of all the movies you haven't seen, all the art you haven't seen, you know, all the TV you haven't seen. I mean, every young person, they have to decide how much they care about the stuff that happened in the past and how much they want to bother catching up on, right?
Well, that's why we do this. We're teaching a course in 101 on culture here. I'll play like Gil Scott-Heron or the Ohio Players on my show, and people will write me and go, man, I've never heard of the Ohio Players. I love this. What is it? And you're like, it's funk music from the 70s. So it's been fantastic for me. I've been doing that and then writing about it. And now it's in book form. When I didn't transcribe the podcast, because when I did, it was full of profanity and backwards. I just doubled back on myself 1,000 times. So I had to actually sit down.
And I don't think the drinking translates as well to the written word.
You know what? You're right. Having drunk a lot while writing it, I noticed that. There's all those famous authors who drank a lot. I think they wrote when they were sober.
Do you? Tell me about writing. Is it dull and boring like a lot of people say, or did you find it fascinating? Or
I'd love to say that it was easy and it just flowed out of me like the Amazon River. No, I squared off at the book every day. I'd take it on the road with me. Yeah.
Oh, I can't get back to that now.
I hate you, book. And the book would go, not as much as I hate you, Greg. Yeah. And then deadlines would – what did Douglas Adams, who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, said – the wonderful thing about deadlines is the whooshing noise they make as they go by. So they'd be like, where's the 10,000 words, Greg? And I'm like, I'm high right now. That's where they are, okay? I'll get to you,
that's
Mr. Book.
That's a good answer, though.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? What are you going to say to that?
No, they can't answer you that. What is Simon & Schuster supposed to say?
Was the book something that you had to go out and pitch, or is your podcast so popular and your live show so popular that people came to you and said, no, we insist you must write a book?
Well, everything I do, as you know, is so resoundingly popular that it's just...
You're practically a household name.
By acclamation, I was given a book. My agent at the time got me a meeting at Simon & Schuster, so I wrote this long, proposal. Then I went into the meeting, and Stacey Krimer was the editor there at the time. I remember going in the meeting and going, who's this guy's name? I couldn't think of someone I was talking about, and I hit her. And she went, you're hitting me. No one's ever hit me at a meeting, and I think that was when I sold it.
Yeah, this guy hit me.
Women love to be hit.
Well, I was I was hitting on her arm going, who's the guy's name? Like that. And we were in this fancy building in New York and all that. So then I had to write it. That was the horrible part.
At once that you point, sell now it, you're in.
Yeah, yeah, right. Then it's a prison sentence. Greg, my wife did the illustration.
I'm sure that your opinions are all correct and that the rest of us just don't know what we're talking about. But what is the opinion on the thing in your book that has proven the most controversial with your readers?
Well, I'm a feminist, and some people aren't down with that. I talk a lot about women in the book. There's Women in History baseball team. There's a chapter on 5 feminists you should know. And then I have a statement at the beginning where I'm like, women are going to be spelt with a capital W through the whole book. And I say things like, don't use old lady as a pejorative, because old women raise the world. And they're anything but weak. And so sometimes people are like, what are you, a woman? I'm like, no, I have empathy.
I'm sorry, they come at you with, what are you, a woman?
Yes, I got heckled with, what are you, a woman, a couple of weeks ago.
And you'll never come back from that, Greg.
No, how do you? The lack of empathy some men have. I mean, men walk around all the time hassling. Every woman in the world knows they've been trying to go to do their laundry and a guy will drive by in a truck and go, and guys are like, what? Aren't we allowed to do that? And it's like,
women love it.
Girls don't come up to you on the street and go, nice flannel shirt. Hey, nice package. You delivering that for UPS? Smile. You're too cute to smile with that mustache. Why don't you smile? You know,
and guys better like, if they would do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. If only.
Yeah.
Well, you can dream. Yeah,
sure. Sure. There's always the dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are people just surprised to find a man who identifies as a feminist because in some people's minds that's only for the ladies?
Yes, I think that's what it is. And, you know, comedy is not exactly – we're progressive. My goodness, after all, there's plenty of intelligent comedians. I've met two. you know, comedy has largely been based in my girlfriend. My understanding is for many comedians, their girlfriend is quite fat.
Yeah.
We move forward in fits and starts. But that part's been good. There's also a lot of baseball in it, too. But I use the baseball as a jumping-off point for all these different teams. There's the all-time Roman Emperor team. And Caligula is the catcher on that team because he can handle balls.
He seemed more like a... Oh, there you go.
See? See what I did? I took it down to your
Bean
level.
Bean was moving right on, and then he realized, oh,
yeah,
he got
one.
Me. I've been sniped. Greg Proops is here. The book is called The Smartest Book in the World, A Lexicon of Literacy, A Ranker's Reportage, A Concise Curriculum of Cool. I can't believe I just said that title correctly, by the way.
Well done.
It's available online and at all book retailers. You are going to be doing a couple of things coming up in town, including tomorrow night. You're going to be at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. But
that's
this
right.
is not book-related, right? This is Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yeah, you're doing live, right?
I'm in a group with Ryan Stiles. He's the tall one. And Joel right. Murray, who's Bill Murray's mm-hmm. brother, Jeff Davis. And we're playing in we never play Los Angeles, and it was very poorly advised. but we're playing Beverly Hills tomorrow night. Yeah, we're in San Luis Obispo tonight, and then Beverly Hills tomorrow, and then Escondido after that. And I'll be doing a book event at the Nerd Melt on Sunset on June 9th. We'll do the podcast there and then a book thing after. So
that
you don't have
correct.
To buy a ticket to come in. I mean, you don't have to buy a book to enter the podcast, but no
should.
One leaves the building until I tackle you and make you read the book.
I think that's fair.
You
and you can get the details
the
on that at smartestbookintheworld.com. Greg Proops is here. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Greg Proops in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stand-up comedian. You know him from Whose Line Is It Anywhere? And, of course, his very popular podcast. By the way, one of our listeners, Kelly, just tweeted at us. She's very excited that the Proop Dog is on Kevin and Bean right now. Are you known as the Proop Dog? Are you fine with that, Greg?
I am known as the Proop Dog. Sometimes the Proop Kitten. We have a lot of kittens on the show. Kittens McTavish okay. is our mascot on the Smartest Man in the World. So I'm the Proop Cat, the Proop Kitten, the Proop Dog, Proop Monkey in the old days, but
Does,
I evolved.
Do you ever get challenged for the title of Smartest Man in the World? The reason I say that is, you know, you talk to a UFC fighter, for instance, and once he's a champion, people want us to get into, you know, business with him at a bar or something like that. They just want to take down the champ. Do you have people come up to you who insist on proving that they are smarter than you?
I'll people come up to me and be like, I'm playing tic-tac-toe against you right now.
really? Not Go Fish?
Go Fish.
Yeah.
Old Maid. Crazy Eights, maybe a little bit. Not that often. I anointed myself the smartest man in the world. A friend of mine said to me when I started the podcast, do you know how you come off? And I'm like, no, how do I come off? And he went, like, you know everything. And I'm like, that's obvious. And then he said, you should have a podcast where you take questions and brook no dissent. And I thought that was hilarious. Of course, I am from San Francisco. And as we say in San Francisco, there's two things you know when you're from San Francisco. One, everything. And two, that wherever you are isn't as cool as where you're from. So I carry that with me everywhere I go. I called myself the smartest man in the world. I never graduated college. So my message out there, if you're in college right now, is do what you like.
Yeah, don't go to school.
Yeah, you know what?
Right?
Drop out.
And when you become a comedian, no one asks you for a degree or credentials or anything like that. That's the democracy of comedy. If you get laughs,
education
you get
is for losers. We all agree on that, right?
Absolutely for losers, yeah.
Greg, you talk a lot in the book about your favorite movies, a lot of classics, your favorite music. You say you in particular love the 70s. Of course, the classic poetry you talk about. How do you feel about the state of 21st century culture? Are there things that you hear that are new in any of those categories that you get as excited about as you do some of the old stuff?
Absolutely. I think we're living in a boom time because everyone has access to the interweb and the computer all the time. And so now there's a real democracy of people being able to create. The problem is someone has to curate all this for you.
Yeah, is there too much access so that it's all just jumbles up?
Right.
That's
so, I agree with you. That's when I feel like my job is to curate this stuff for people. I do listen to new things, and I do watch new things. But I also feel like my job is to curate the past for everybody so that they know where to start. Because people will be like, I've never heard of the past. What's a guy? A guy said to me at Google a couple weeks ago.
No one has ever said that.
Yeah, I've never. A guy said to me at Google 2 weeks ago, I'm an engineer. What's a poem? I mean, you know, like, I've never read a poem. And I was like, it's okay. That's why we're here. Here's a poem for you. I do think there's lots of groovy stuff going on all the time. I mean, as you know, the record industry is not exactly at the height.
Yeah, who knows where that's going to shake out or how it's all going to end up.
Right? So we're all
But it doesn't mean there's not lots of great music.
Agreed.
They're two different things.
There's
yeah.
Loads of great music. There's loads of great movies. And there's loads of great TV shows. They're just not all on TV anymore. Because everything's on demand now. And you can carry your little phone with you and do whatever you like. We're all individual agents of our own entertainment. And I think that's where the confusion gets in. Because people are like, I've never heard of that. My favorite thing is we live in the world of Twitter. And I'll tweet, like, I'm going to be on Kevin and Bean. And then I guarantee you, after we finish the show today, someone will be like, I didn't know you were going to be on Kevin and Bean. And it's like, it's on Twitter!
I don't know. Greg, forgive me if this is a controversial question, but does it matter if somebody never reads a poem in their life?
Oh, no. You know, nothing. Hey, in the end, all that matters is that you sit there on your couch and let the world wash by you.
But you can still have a happy, fulfilled, full life without poetry, for instance.
Poetry's
right?
All around us, Bean. Every lyric that you listen to in music is a poem, and the moon and the stars are out there every night. I don't think that people have to sit down and read poetry books in order to appreciate poetry. I just feel like we're all so attached to our phones and we're all so busy surviving that sometimes you never look up at a tree or whatever. There's plenty of poetry everywhere you look all the time, even in the foam of your coffee, baby.
Wow, it just got
okay,
deep.
I don't know what
we got
happened.
Deep.
Yeah,
we got deep.
I didn't track that.
And rap music is largely recited lyrics, is it not?
Yeah. Who's your favorite rapper?
Right now? Well, of all time, I like Public Enemy because I like a lot of vitriol and substance and hatred toward the government. That's
well,
what makes me happy.
You're all about fighting the power.
Yeah, I am. I think rich people run the world and they're dastardly. You guys were talking about FIFA before. Finally, watching millionaires rutted out of their hotel rooms, some of on wheelchairs.
That was pretty sweet.
It's exciting. Not since they used to do the perp walk when Bush was president and they'd make them walk with the – you know, I love that. I'd love to see Jamie Dimon and Lloyd Blankfein and all the people who ran all the banks perp walked and taken out of their hotel rooms and thrown to the sidewalk and beaten soundly by the NYPD. Then you could tell me America's right again.
That should be a 24-hour channel.
Wouldn't it?
I'd watch.
The Millionaire Perp Walk is my new reality show, and I'm
going
to pitch it to the Learning Channel because they're hurting right now. And they need something besides, you know, people who fondle one another and wear beards. So I think that to me is the exciting part of seeing the power of thought. Having the World Cup in Qatar is hilarious. Why not have it on the planet Mercury?
Yeah.
And then having it in Russia. As you know, Russia, smooth sailing over there.
Yeah, it's insanity.
What could go wrong?
No corruption at all.
And before everybody started following this story, they started talking about then maybe we move the World Cup to the winter. We can do it over Christmas. Then they said we could do it at night. It was just insanity.
Yeah, let's have it on the dark side of the moon.
Why are we going there if that's what we have to do?
I think we should have it on the space station. That way it's truly international.
There you go.
No, I like soccer a lot, and I always watch the World Cup. But they're just wildly corrupt and everything. But all sports are, let's be honest. After that comes what? Formula One racing, which is a hotbed of yuckiness and... The NCAA.
Hotbed of yuckiness, while we're talking about great new bands. They
that's a good one.
Get the
hotbed of yuckiness rages.
Hey, listen, we're almost out of time, but I do want to hit on Whose Line Is It again real quick, because you're going to be at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. That's going to be tomorrow night. Tickets are available through sabintheater.org. These guys are the greatest comedy improvers in the world, and I know that you know that, Greg, but I want people to understand it's phenomenal what you guys do. And the TV show is back on. It was on, then it was off, and now it's back on, and it's going strong, right?
We're on our third year on the CW. We no longer have the rich guy. Now we have Aisha Tyler.
Just known as the rich guy?
Well, he used to be large, Drew Carey. He's a very dear friend of mine, and he lost all the weight, so we call him formerly Two and a Half Men.
Okay.
And, now we're on with Aisha on Friday nights, and it's all your favorites. It's the tall guy, Ryan, the bald older gentleman Colin, and the show-offy black guy Wayne Brady.
And you can see it live on stage at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills tomorrow night. And then the smartest man in the world, Proopcast, goes book wild. That means it's a live podcast, and you can buy the book if you want at the Nerd Melt showroom on June 9th. Tickets available and information at smartestbookintheworld.com. Greg, you're running on all cylinders, man. I can't believe all that you get done in a day, but thanks for squeezing in the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Love you guys.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
In the next 30 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky like we do every Thursday morning, and we'll give you your final chance to win tickets for U2 at the Roxy. That's coming up. Not now, but in about 20 minutes or so, we'll tell you to call in for that. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Real quickly, I just want to mention this contest that I've been involved with, and I know I've been doing commercials for it. Maybe you've heard it, but I think it's really worth talking about for people who love the showbiz beat and especially love movies, that I'm involved in this My Arclight contest that Arclight Cinemas is doing.
Right.
It's giving away a lifetime pass to go to see movies for free at any Arclight for the rest of your life.
That seems pretty good.
It's awesome. I know how you feel about the Arclight, Kevin. I'm the same way.
It's the only place I go.
It's my favorite theater in the world, both the one in Hollywood and the one in Sherman Oaks. They've got a brand new, two brand new opening, one in the Santa Monica, one in Culver City. Anyway, I just think it's too good to pass up, so I wanted to get the word out to other folks who listen to the Showbiz Beat. If you're interested, you can go to myarclight.com. That's myarclight.com. And what they're asking you to do is to recreate a scene from your favorite movie using costumes and props and whatnot. And then you enter your photograph, and then me and some other judges pick our finalists each and every week. And at the end of the contest, we're going to pick our favorites out of those finalists. And it's simple to do, and it's a great opportunity to win a lifetime pass to see movies at the Arclight. So I just wanted to give people a heads up if they hadn't heard the spots that I'm doing. And it's a contest that I really am fired up about, so that's what I wanted to talk about.
Have you seen some good ones?
I've seen some amazing ones. Like my favorite this week that's up on the website. If you go to the website, you can see my picks each week. A father and his son recreating the unboxing of the major award
A
Christmas Story. The lamp leg.
Fragile.
That must be Italian. And they've just done a great job. The little kid's got glasses on, looks just like little Ralphie and stuff, and it's very entertaining. But there's been a ton of great pictures. So go to myarclight.com and check out all the details if you're interested. This surprises me, but it's kind of cool. Benedict Cumberbatch, as you know, is going to play Doctor Strange in the upcoming Marvel film of the same name. You know, Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme.
Sure.
Stephen Strange.
Yeah, he's that guy who
That's the sorcerer.
Flies?
In sorcery.
No, wooden
he
hand.
He does a lot of sorcery.
He's got the wooden hand. He's got the wooden hand.
A lot of sorcery. Right. That's right. Did you get that from Sorcerer Supreme? Is that where you got that from?
That's all I got.
He's able to astral project.
Right. That's what we meant.
He can leave his body and travel to other realms.
Oh, that's the best.
So anyway, Cumberbatch is going to play Doctor Strange, and they're talking to Tilda Swinton to play the Ancient One.
Oh, he's terrific.
Yeah, that's Tilda Swinton is a lady.
That's right.
And the Ancient One is Doctor Strange's mentor, who teaches him the ways of sorcery. And it's great casting. Usually it's a man in the comics, but Tilda Swinton is androgynous enough to be eerie and spooky and whatnot.
Yeah.
She's right? Got weird down. Actress. She does have weird down. There's no question about that.
She has weird down?
Yeah. She's got it down.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
What was that movie that I loved so much? The one on the train where she played a man on that one. The one that with the people living on the train. You know the one I'm talking about?
People
it was out last year.
Yes,
it was so
it was
great.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. That was it. Great movie, and she was phenomenal.
Oh, no.
Kevin, what
well, just I just
happened?
The wind just got knocked down me for a second.
Thank you. I'm out.
Kevin
dropped the mic.
Kevin looked inside his head and pulled a fact out.
There was something in there that was relevant.
And you accessed it almost immediately.
How did that happen, Kevin? I just assumed Chip whispered it in your ear.
Did you put quotes around Snowpiercer in your brain and hit send and got a picture of Scott Kahn and somehow translated that into Snowpiercer?
Where'd that come from, Kevin? Seriously.
Good boy.
Good boy, Kevin.
Because I remember her in that role, and she was super creepy.
The
she
Kev
was
phenomenal. But
the Kev dog, everybody.
Right, but this is like, all right,
shut up,
like,
Bean.
Kev
this
dog.
Is like a little leaguer all of a sudden throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Kev dog.
Don't question the magic, man.
All right.
Just live it. Love it. Be it.
Very impressive.
I get like one of those a year. I'm done.
Bean was right. When we were talking about B.B. King's daughters who were suggesting that he was poisoned, the reason they're speculating foul play? Because of the will. It always comes down to money, doesn't it?
And that's always ugly.
New York Daily News has a great story about how B.B. King's lawyer, Brent Bryson, thinks that his daughters, Patty King and Karen Williams, are upset because they only got a few thousand dollars each out of B.B.'s estate.
The rest of the estate went into a trust to make sure his younger family members could pay for their college educations.
Well,
that bastard.
11 children.
That bastard
You're not all
taking
get a fortune.
Care of his young children so they can go to college? What kind of evil prick was this man? And so the older kids, who already should have their own jobs and lives, are bitching because they just got a couple grand from old dad.
Yeah.
Stop it, daughters of B.B. King. Is what I've always said.
Sometimes it gets real.
Was any money left to that guy that he met in the airport that one time?
Yes. Oddly enough, B.B. left a lot to the guy he only calls Strange Conversation Dude.
B.B., do you want to get a Cinnabon?
Worst conversation in an airport ever, B.B. King
said.
We
had a very nice chat, Mr. King and I.
Sure. The lawyer does say that the estate is in the millions, but not nearly the 20 or 30 million that has been reported. There's never as much money as people speculate. But looks like the younger kids are being taken care of so they can go to college, and the older kids have a chapped ass because they're not getting enough money. So they say he was poisoned. It's all a conspiracy. No word yet on the return of the toxicology report, but they have taken samples from the body, and they're going to look into it. So.
And again, I ask, if the man is 89, why take the risk of poisoning him? Just wait him out.
Yeah. Maybe if you'd been a little nicer to dad, girls, while he was alive, you'd get a little more cash.
Good point.
A little too late looking for answers now, isn't it? Today's celebrity birthdays, singer, actress, lovely gal, Kylie Minogue is 47 years old today. I had no idea she was 47, by the way. She looks spectacular for 47.
Yeah, she does.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe she's a cancer survivor as well.
That is correct.
Yes. Wow. So she's doing something, right? TV talk show host Elizabeth Hasselbeck is 38 years old.
Do you guys remember that she was on Survivor? That's how we knew her.
That's how she got her big break. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
A lot of people emailing and writing in, by the way, her politics.
Yes.
Saying she shouldn't get a bell because she's a horrible right-wing harpy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's absurd.
The bell has no politics.
That's true.
I'm sorry, people. It just has no politics.
Boobs and pretty faces are boobs and pretty faces.
The bell is completely shallow and self-serving. It has nothing to do with what's right or wrong. It's just about what's bonerific. Actor Jake Johnson is 37 years old today, and actress Carey Mulligan celebrates her 30th birthday. I mentioned Kylie Minogue in Doctor Who. I forgot to mention Carey Mulligan also in Doctor Who. Maybe in one of the best Doctor Who episodes ever, Blink. About
this story is not going to be interesting.
It is interesting. It's about statues that only move when you're not looking at them.
Stop talking.
So Doctor Who and his companion are in this, what looks like a cemetery with these weeping angels.
Right.
Who can kill you and will attack you, but they only move when you're not looking. So if you blink, when you open your eyes again, boom, they're 3 feet closer to you, reaching out at you. But every time you look at them, they stay still. They're stone.
I was going to play boring drops, but that's kind of
it's
fascinating.
It's terrifying. This episode is terrifying, I promise you.
I need to see that.
It's spooky great stuff, and I recommend it highly. If you only ever have to see one Doctor Who episode, find Blink. And watch that. Outstanding stuff. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every week at this time, we are excited to talk to our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, of course, the host of Dr. Drew On Call, HLN, Monday through Thursday night at 6, and the co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock. Hey, Doc, how's your week going, man?
Hey, now. It's going good. How about you guys?
Very good. Thank
you. Going great. This Duggar story gets more and more curious to me for a lot of reasons, and I know you've been talking about it a lot on the headline news. Let me get your initial impressions first, besides the fact that obviously we're against it. What are your thoughts about this crazy family?
Initial impressions, ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
The more complex issues, though, are here's the situation. I think people are aware that Duggars are this family that are on a TLC program where they have 19 kids, and they seem to be addicted to having babies. I don't know what kind of parenting they do, but they're super religious, and the parenting seems to be, I mean, it's almost envious, the kind of parenting they seem to be doing, where their kids were constantly with them, and they were seemed to be very affectionate, and they had a sort of a bizarre approach to their interpersonal guidance, in that the kids weren't allowed to look at other people, and if they got a girlfriend, they weren't allowed to hold hands, and if they hugged, they had to hug from the side, to each his own. Lo and behold, it comes out that the eldest boy, who had been running for Senate, interestingly, had been sexually abusing his siblings. good times when he was 14.
His own siblings.
His own siblings, we think, and maybe some other girls as well. And we don't know how young or how bad or how intense. But the parents, of course, hid it for a year. And then after a year, told a, quote, state trooper, unquote, who happened to be a personal friend, who now happens to be in prison on child pornography charges.
Oh, Jesus. Then, what's happening?
Then they take this kid, never assessed as far as we can tell, and send him to some sort of Christian boot camp, basically a work camp. And the family's sort of report on this is, well, we taught him what was right and wrong. He knows now. He knows now the difference. He knows
so
what's
this,
right and wrong.
This was kind of, this is a cousin to the pray the gay away philosophy, which is just if we get enough Bible in the kid, he won't act on these impure thoughts.
Very much. And circulating around are some of the principles of the people that set this program up. And more than anything, they seem to be blaming the victims, meaning children, for dressing provocatively. Nice. Good time.
Wow.
And that God was not in them, in the perpetrator in that moment. And of course, let's remind ourselves that the kids that were victimized seem never to have been evaluated and were now forced to live with the perpetrator most of their the rest of their childhood, and the whole time being told, it's fine, the devil just got him. And it never, you know, imagine how these kids feel. They feel horrible, and they can't because, well, no, the kid's fine. The other one's fine. Your brother, he's good. So don't feel bad now. God's all back. And wow. it's just reprehensible what happened.
Now, Dr. Drew, I haven't been paying attention to that TV show as it has been rolled out for however many seasons it's been on. Has everybody worried about this, or was there anything to worry about before this bombshell, or was it just come out of nowhere?
Funny you should ask. Well, it always seemed a little weird and creepy, but what is especially the reason this stands out, I think, for many people so in such a pronounced manner, two phenomena. One is they were extremely cruel to gay, lesbian, LGBT folks. Really, like, you know, as though these people are the devil. And then, on top of that, he is on the record, the father is on the record, saying that not only is this a violation against God, but if somebody, God forbid, should ever commit rape or incest, they should be put to death.
And now it's in his own family with his own son.
There you go. He's
changed his opinion now?
We don't know. Son? They've been quite silent on pretty much everything now. And for me, the most disturbing part about this, other than that it was so swept away in such reprehensible ways, that other people have to suffer. You know, people with other sexual orientations have to be belittled by these folks who are such hypocrites. But the fact is, the victimizer, we don't know what was going on there. He was never evaluated, never treated. We don't know how long this went on or if it's continuing to go on. He has his own kids. And the victims, never evaluated, never treated.
And what are the chances of him actually being molested himself?
Having been pretty good, pretty good. That's one of the ways somebody can get to this place. But, of course, that never was evaluated. He was never treated.
Now, the network has not canceled this show?
Well, that's the other issue, is should this thing be canceled or not? And they have not officially pulled it, but not officially canceled it. I think the writing is on the wall.
How is that not a given?
Well, the sponsors are pulling out. You could argue, I'm not making this argument, but you could argue, and I think it's not a terrible argument, that, well, we're going to show the actual treatment now. We're going to pull the curtain back. We're going to see what's going on here and keep this conversation going, because it is an important conversation. Childhood sexual abuse is so, so common, and the actual treatment of it can be very effective and useful. But I have a feeling, you know, what's to say this family would allow any of that?
Right. Dr. Drew, I had one more thing I wanted to ask, and that is I get a culty vibe out of this family. They seem so insulated. They seem to be so unwilling to let outsiders into their sphere, into their bubble. All the homeschooling that I heard where they teach things like men are physically incapable of controlling themselves around a woman, and if you cheat, you'll have a miscarriage. I mean, they taught science from the Bible.
Yeah.
It just seems – to me, it seemed like a cult.
It's very interesting. I have used that word too, Bean, and I have felt a little ambivalent using it or guilty even, but the reality is it does have that vibe. And you can have a cult of a family. You can have a cult of a single relationship, you know, when you have somebody sucks somebody into something they can't escape from, it's us versus them. Now you have the start of something.
So when is what's the next thing? When is the season supposed to start or whatever? When do they have to make it?
I don't know. TLC's been very quiet. I do know the TLC. I've known the TLC execs over the years. And in spite, you can say what you will about the programming they've chosen to put on the air. I know them to be thoughtful people who do give a crap. They do.
And
That's not the network where you impregnate the teen moms, though. That's MTV, right?
That's not Dr. Drew doesn't impregnate.
Where I impregnate them? Yes, that's MTV.
That's MTV. Okay. Got that.
And by the way, that show has had the impact we thought it would, because teen pregnancy is at the lowest it's been since the 1940s. And as academics have gone in and examined viewing habits of communities where the teen pregnancy is the lowest, and they have the highest viewing of that show.
Well, so you're saying you getting those girls, best thing that happened to
that's
them.
That's what Bean's saying.
Oh.
I think Dr. Drew's vasectomy is the only thing that brought the teen pregnancy rate down in this country. All right, Dr. Drew on Love Line.
I've been talking to you guys.
Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 here on K-Rock. And, of course, Dr. Drew on call at HLN Monday through Thursday at 6. Thanks, Doc. We enjoyed it, sir.
You bet.
Thank you. All right, you too at the Roxy.
This is it, right?
We have one pair of tickets left.
I feel good about this. I'm excited about this. It's going to be fun.
I'm dreading it. I'm unhappy. I don't want it to happen.
We're looking for, if you love U2 and you deserve the last pair of tickets for tonight's show at the Roxy, you need to call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to earn your way in coming up next on K-Rock. Look, there are things that everybody can't do, Kevin. Like, right. I can't snap my fingers, for instance.
Okay.
Can't do it. Don't know how to do it.
Right, but we're not doing Bean doesn't snap his fingers to the hits, are we?
I can't blow bubbles with bubble gum.
Right.
Never learned how to do it. Tried. Can't do it. This is just your thing, man. It's just your cross to bear. It's no big deal. It's fine. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to be sad about. It's going to be fine.
I'm not sad or embarrassed. I don't want to be the sole reason that somebody doesn't get to go see U2 at the Roxy.
Right, but your trying to whistle is going to be as bad for all the contestants. So it's a level playing field. It's not like somebody has an advantage or disadvantage. They all are playing the same game. And that game is called Kevin Blow Hums the Hits.
Because you know he's all about that blow, about that blow, no whistle, and all about that hum, no whistle. He's all about the blow and the hum, no whistle, and that's why we play Kevin Blow Hums the Hits.
Special needs.
How dare you. Found out along the trail here at the Kevin and Bean Show that Kevin can't whistle. It really comes out sounding more like blow humming, and that's where Kevin Blow Hums the Hits was born. So basically what you're going to be doing is you're going to be attempting to whistle U2 songs. All the listener on the phone has to do is identify that song by its title, and he or she goes into the drawing to win the last pair of tickets for U2 at the Roxy tonight.
Sounds a lot of pressure.
Okay. Well, let's see how it goes. Who's our first contestant, please?
Pamela in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Pamela. You a big U2 fan?
Huge.
Oh, it would suck to get this close and not win, wouldn't it?
Hey, stop
it.
Why would you do that?
I'm just saying. The pressure's on. This is the last pair of tickets. That's all. This is it. There's no more after this.
I know. All right, I really hope he can whistle really well today.
Yeah, so does he.
He's the best.
He hopes that
as well.
Kevin's the best
whistler.
Are you ready?
What are you coming up with?
I shouldn't have gone for that high note. I thought it might help.
Pamela, what's your guess, please?
Please tell me you got that.
Oh, take a guess if you don't know.
Just,
that was not even a guess. All right, we were looking for Melissa Blue Sky this time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for playing, though. Appreciate it. Who's up next?
Kevin. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to do this.
Well, whistle better.
I can't.
Whistle louder, then.
Hey, Joe in Garden Grove.
Hey, I hate you already.
I hate me too already.
I hate you. 936 times. That's how many times I called and I get this. This is my chance.
Hey, you're a lot closer than people who just get a busy signal. We've been hearing from them for 2 weeks, too. So good luck to you. Kevin is going to blow home the hits. What U2 song is this?
Wait. Wait, hold on.
Time out.
Hold on. God.
Allie, you knew it was going to be bad. You didn't know it was going to be this bad, did you?
No. Come on, right?
That's it? That's all I got?
I sort of heard that.
Thank you, Bean.
I got
what you were putting down.
You guys are looking at the list, so I don't...
Oh,
I'm sorry,
not.
Joe.
I have no list.
Oh. Joe, what do you think?
With or without you.
Kevin, was it Desire? Nice!
All right, we are 0 for 2.
I'm sorry.
I did say that everyone was on a level playing field. I didn't realize everyone would not get in.
How
but
dare you? I told you I can't whistle.
Somebody will get it.
Hey,
we're staying on till 11 if we have to.
Hey, Martha.
Hey.
Have you gotten either of the last two?
I got the first one.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the first one. So bring it on.
All right, here we go. Good luck.
Okay.
Don't look at me like that, Allie. That was... Come on.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
I got to back my man Kevin here. He hit the melody. Martha?
Sometimes
take a
you
guess.
Can't make it on your own.
I'm sorry, Martha. It's beautiful day. This is tough. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm being told by the judges we are in sudden death now. So there's no longer a drawing. First person that identifies Kevin Blohum's The Hits by its correct title wins their way into the Roxy tonight. Who's up next?
Aaron in Long Beach.
Hello.
Come on, Aaron.
I'm not enjoying this.
Hey, Kevin, Aaron. Don't screw this up.
Aaron, you could be 10 seconds away from getting the last pair of tickets to the U2 at the Roxy show. Good luck, okay? Okay. I didn't get that one. I couldn't hear that one, but.
What?
What
I'm looking for.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. Our long national nightmare is over.
I apologize to all of the other contestants. Not my idea to do this game.
Aaron, how long have you been trying to win these U2 tickets?
I've called over 6,000 times. I'm not kidding you.
6,000 times?
I'm not kidding.
Well, we will see you tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. He's all about the blow and
the hum, no whistle. Special needs. Special needs.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 941. Stop it.
Desire.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's pretty easy.
You enjoy the blow humming?
Howling. I was howling in the room.
That was strong, right?
Howling.
But you guys can understand why I hate it, because I don't want to be the sole reason somebody's not going.
But as Bean has said many times, it's a level playing field. It's not like Dave's playing for you in the title fight.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the worst.
He's in the Ramones. Yeah, you weren't that guy. Could be worse. At least everybody had a handicap with you.
Yeah, I guess.
Actually, it's the fairest of all games that we play.
I thought you did a great job, Kevin.
Shut up, Bean.
Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of Kevin.
Shut up, Ralph.
What? I'm about to give you some love.
I doubt it.
You. But here's the best thing I can say about you. You have good friends.
Okay.
And one of your friends, Rick Baker's in the news.
Oh.
Legendary makeup effects artist Rick Baker. If you care at all about achievement in movie and special effects makeup, you know the name Rick Baker. He is a legend. He is, well, frankly, in my opinion, the greatest makeup artist in movie history. He took what guys did like Dick Smith and guys like that and just added upon it exponentially. Just has been the best forever. And he's got a lot of hardcore fans out there, so I did want to mention that for the first time in my knowledge, Rick Baker is auctioning off a ton of his original props and makeups from legendary films. And it is a no-reserve live auction of 417 iconic works from Rick Baker. And it's happening through a group called the Prop Store. PropStore.com is the auction. And you can take a look at all that stuff at their website now if you want to bid on it. But amazing pieces, like work from American Werewolf in London, which was his first sort of legendary movie that he did. Brilliant stuff in that. The Planet of the Apes movies. Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, Hellboy, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Men in Black, he's got some creatures from Men in Black up for auction, Mighty Joe Young, Gremlins, the actual Gremlin and Mogwai puppets from Gremlins 2, the new batch, are going up for auction, including a 10-foot-tall animatronic character from the original Men in Black, Edgar Bug, is also available for auction. So this stuff is just...
Is he the one whose head opens?
Priceless, yes. It's just priceless stuff that you can get for a price.
Now, Kevin, you're friends with Rick. Is he one of those guys who just saves stuff from all the movies he's done?
Yeah, he's
a hoarder.
Yeah, he's not a hoarder, but he had a huge warehouse where he kept samples of all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's the guy that made up Michael Jackson for Thriller, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So he has all that stuff. He would open a room and say, look in here, and it's all Men in Black, all the little aliens that he just sort of made up out of nothing. Guy has 8 Academy Awards.
The Harry cool. head, hands, and feet, and muscle suit from Harry and the Hendersons? You own that. Bean could own that and put it on and go out for Halloween as Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. He would be the perfect Sasquatch.
He would be the right size.
He's the perfect size to be a Sasquatch.
Pizza first! First!
No, I don't think he saw it first.
That's a pretty cool auction for people like you, Ralph, who are into movie memorabilia. That's as good as it gets right there.
If you're a collector and movies are your thing, you want to be a part of this. That's why I wanted to give you a heads up. So, Prop Store. PropStore.com/auction is where you can go to see all the details about that. But I did want to give you the heads up. Movies are becoming TV shows. TV shows are becoming movies. It's just the snake is eating its tail these days. And yet another announcement, this time from Fox. They are bringing Urban Cowboy to the small screen. Remember the movie Urban Cowboy with John Travolta?
I remember that it
existed. Deborah Winger?
I don't remember ever seeing it.
Scott Glenn? This movie ignited the country and western craze that
the
happened
line dancing
in the
80s.
Line dancing and Gillies, the biggest honky-tonk in the world, and looking for love in all the wrong places, and just belt buckles and cowboy hats and Lone Star beer all exploded after Urban Cowboy. It was a massive hit.
Making that into a TV show?
Making a TV series out of Urban Cowboy.
That doesn't seem... I mean, that seems like very much a... It'd be like making a Flashdance show. It just seems very much like a place in time, you know, to me.
But look, there's still guys in cowboy hats, still guys drinking Lone Star and still honky-tonking.
But I feel like part of why that worked is because country music was exploding at that time, and now country music is so big, it's everywhere. Well, you know, it's like it feels like that.
The main story is the relationship between Sissy and Bud, the two main characters, and their relationship. And it's going to be a soap opera, you know, but instead of the background being, let's say, oh, I don't know, urban music...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Building an empire. If they've got that, that's a success.
Yeah.
Why not give one to Whitey?
Why not? Hey, right? look at Nashville.
Give
that's
Whitey one.
It's
how about
Whitey gets a show?
Right? Maybe Whitey gets a show once in a while.
There you go.
And held down for so long.
So all the S-kickers now who aren't watching Empire can tune into Fox and watch Urban Cowboy.
Boom.
And watch some S-kicking. Riding mechanical bull. Here's the funny thing. You're going to laugh. Because you know how I feel generally about country music.
You hate it.
Love Nashville.
Yeah.
And at the time, loved Urban Cowboy. Loved that film. That summer, you would have found me.
No.
In a cowboy hat?
In a cowboy hat.
I love it.
With the boots and the buckle.
I need a photo.
On a mechanical bull.
The mechanical bull.
I would go to a bar regularly and ride a mechanical bull. There was a bar down in Wildwood, New Jersey called the Lucky Club, and for an entire summer I spent riding that mechanical bull.
I'll bet you owned it.
Crushed it. Crushed it.
Bull, you're...
Bitch? Are you looking for
was
bitch?
Was there more to that sentence?
It seemed like there was going to be another word.
No,
I just
had
a stroke. It was weird.
My friends would mock me because I'd put on the leather riding glove, and I'd wrap my hand around that rope around the bull, and I'd put one arm in the air like this, and I would nod to the guy working the machine, and I would go... It looked like I was riding one of those kiddie rides in the mall that you put 25 cents in and it goes really slowly back and forth. Yeah, so.
You brought your own glove?
No, they had it there, Allie. Don't be silly.
I did that when I was drunk in New York about a year ago.
Ding-a-ling.
Hold on.
We're out of time. I'm sorry.
We're
out of time, but.
Really?
Yeah, it was about a year ago in New York.
Damn it. You're right. A year ago. I had an excuse. It was Urban Cowboy.
Right, but I was drunk.
Was I?
I ruled on that bull. All right. But we got to go.
All right. I'm out of time. Goodbye.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin DeBeat Show. It's Friday, so we have the movie beat. And tonight, of course, is U2 at the Roxy. We're going to interview the band immediately following their performance, and we will have that for you tomorrow morning as well.